Welcome to the next 8-4 Play podcast with a very, very special guest, folks.
I'm sure you say that to everybody who comes into this room.
Oh, you might recognize those beautiful salient tones, but if not, stay tuned to find out who that voice belongs
right.
to. He's a very good friend of the show, been here a few times. You'll want to stick around and find that out, but until then, you're here for talk about Japan.
And games.
No.
Oh.
Boy, you ruined it. I specifically stopped at Japan.
You kind of like made eye contact for a moment.
No,
I thought you were like finishing.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I appreciate it. I like the gusto, but I intentionally stopped at Japan. It did not go to games and Japanese games because this week we're a little light on the games.
Last week we were too.
As they
every
say.
Every week we're
how about that, huh? Isn't that funny?
Nothing's coming out.
Okay, you keep saying that. More stuff comes out than we literally have time to play literally every week.
Not good stuff.
Okay.
All the good stuff is in May.
All right, we'll get to you. Just hold your horses there for a minute. Roy, I hope you have a good nickname for that person. Why don't you introduce him first?
I do have a good nickname for that person.
We're doing this blind. I'm going to judge your nicknames in real time here as well.
Okay, so that's Graham Rapid Exercise Memes Howard, otherwise known as REM.
I would have said REM first, but okay, I will wait to pass judgment till we find out what that.
Okay.
So I started a Mark gym watch.
Yeah.
So I've been hitting you up like basically every single day.
Yeah.
Being like, hey Mark, I'm at the gym. Where you at, buddy?
And I've like
been
sending
updates to Roy.
Like I told you, did you tell Roy what I sent back?
Oh yeah, he's been usually sending like everything.
As I explained to Graham, the real lifters go at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Before the gym is open.
Before the gym is open. When the gym is open, all the plebes, all the casuals stink up the place. Like when you really go, when your quads are most ready to be blasted.
Your delts.
When your delts are fully engorged, as anybody who's serious about this knows, is in the morning. At 5 o'clock, when the moon is full. Okay, but I'm glad you brought up the gym because
I've been on you literally every day.
There has been an outpouring of reaction to our last podcast. So in case you missed it, folks.
Summarize, please.
In the last podcast, we touched on this. You should really listen to the full tape to see the depths to which Graham sank. Actually, this is two podcasts old.
What?
Yes, you have to actually listen to two podcasts ago to hear the original slight. Then one podcast ago to hear the truth, which I spit, which was that real, whatever you would call yourself, gym rats, don't sit on machines for 2 minutes between sets. They give up the space for other people. No less than friend of the show, Kevin Larrabee, whose picture, if you go to personal trainer and Wikipedia, appears. The source, the Bible.
He is
Reader's
a
Reader's Digest consultant on all fitness matters, owner of his own gym.
Yeah, exactly. So he just wants people to be courteous. But look,
God's voice.
First of all, buddy.
The Pope is infallible when it comes to Catholicism. Kevin Larrabee is infallible when it comes to anything fitness related.
Buddy, first of all.
Kevin Larrabee said it was, quote, painful to listen to what you said on the last podcast, unquote.
Buddy,
is that what he meant?
Yes.
First of all, he
was not the only one. There was an outpouring, the likes of which only when JJ said something like especially stupid had there been this level of a fan outpouring.
I have Shane on my side. I have the man god.
Well, exactly. Case closed.
You just so
that was exactly.
But first of all,
I wanted to bring that up as like the final nail in the coffin was that Shane agreed with you. Shane,
first of all,
is a friend of the show.
Buddy, I want to back up a second here. If you're a real gym rat, you're not using a machine because that's plebe shit.
I don't call myself gym rat. By the way, that was a test.
Gym rat.
And you
lifter.
Failed. You
no,
call yourself gym
I'm
rat.
I'm using your words.
If you're a loser, call himself gym rat.
If you're a lifter, you are never touching a machine. That's plebe stuff. If you're not using free weights, you might as well not be lifted, buddy.
That sounds like some elitist talk right there.
Depends on the situation.
Also,
Kevin Larrabee, is this true?
When the bench is taken, sometimes you gotta make lemonade.
Why,
buddy? You gotta make lemonade.
Go to a gym with more benches.
We don't all have 2 hour martini lunches to take at the gym. Graham.
But also, you know, I'm gonna trust myself on this one because of the two of us, I actually go to the gym.
Okay. Touché. Again.
Every single day this week I've been like, Mark, where you at, buddy? Mark, where you at, buddy?
And you tweet me at 5 o'clock in the morning and show me a picture with you at the gym with the newspaper and prove that I'm not there, then I will be like, you got me.
It's not open at 5, buddy.
I just finished explaining this, but the real people don't go there when it's open. You go there between hours. Anyway.
You have to at least have the discussion in good faith.
Anyway. The REM part came from a little jingle that from? You...
Oh, I sent you a song today.
Yeah. I don't know if you... Have you seen that one yet?
Oh, no. The latest? My phone ran out of power in the last... Was this in the last hour? Because
No, this was earlier today.
Oh, no.
I sent you a thing that I wrote to the tune of REM's Losing My Religion.
See, I might have put you on mute, or I might have, like, moved you as a friend.
You might need to sing that at the end of the show.
That's weird, though, yeah.
So when you come to the gym...
Do you favor us with some bars? I really want to be there. Busy right
every
now.
Every time I send you a
game X.
Every time I send you a message, like I can hear Cats in the Cradle in the back of my head. I'm like, hey, Dad, when you come into the gym, and you're like, I'll be there soon, son. Except, you know, we'll have a good time then.
Except it's the opposite song, which is the fact that I'm not at the gym is because I'm actually seeing my daughter before she goes to sleep. See, there's no Cats in the Cradle song where it's like, oh, Dad, bro, I saw you too much. I should have been at the gym. Meanwhile, I just spent too much time with you, and now you're dying, and I'm sick of you because I spent all this time with you.
Wow.
If that was a Cats in the Cradle song, then you would have a
Is point. Your daughter your real daughter or your game?
Okay, it took me a second to figure out what you meant there. No. My daughter is my real daughter.
Okay.
My game is my son.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
And, yes, both of them are taking up lots of time. And that's also what I've been playing since last time, which I can't talk about, so that's... I'm good. Roy, what have you been playing?
Are we doing that, or are we doing nicknames?
I guess we should introduce the rest of people, including our special guest. Go ahead. Continue.
All right. Well, so my nickname is Roy Filmstruck Twice Blakely. This is kind of like a two-level nickname.
Oh, I like that. I like the two-level thing. Anyway.
I'm going to start with Twice, because there was a new Twice music video that Graham and I have watched. And
your Korean pals.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I actually don't remember do you remember what it's called, Graham?
Is it What Is Love?
That's this it. What is Love?
Like, just like watching asses shaking on the video.
You want to tell yourself, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm curious.
But you don't even remember the name of the song. I mean, what am I left to...
Well, yeah,
I remember to think.
I didn't put that in my nickname, so it didn't help. But anyway, so like the video, it
Twice
kind of
people
riffs.
Are not regular listeners.
It's like a new K-pop band.
Gotcha.
Kind of new, maybe like they've been around for like a year or so.
Yeah,
I think they've got like 7 or 8 members. But the new video riffs on like a bunch of different movies, specifically. Well, some of them are like romantic movies, and some of them are not. But like my pet peeve has been talking to people who have watched the video and like it, but then they don't get any of the movie references.
Mm, what kind of references are we talking about?
Well, so like one of the most basic ones that probably everybody gets is there's a scene where one of the girls is like doing the ghost thing with the
pottery.
The ghost one. Yeah. Okay. Even I got the ghost one.
All right. Yeah. So, but then there's some like deep cut ones. Like one,
I can see young people not getting that. I could see like say Sarah Podzorski.
Yeah, probably.
I could see that. I mean, if you're not old enough, ghost is not exactly...
Patrick Swayze left.
I'm going to call it not a classic.
Before she joined it, I'm thinking.
You're going to call it not a classic? I mean, I don't really like it.
I mean, it's very well known, but it's not a movie that I would say to my daughter or my son, if my game could watch movies, hey, you should really like watch Ghost, this movie from like 1991, right?
Yeah, no, I mean,
To get a lot of jokes and stuff, maybe you should, but like, have you seen it at all recently?
No.
Do you remember how fucked up those things that drag people basically down to hell are?
The ending was disturbing, yeah.
They're like these shadow ghosts, and it was right before CG effects had become like really prevalent.
Yeah.
And so they were like, anyway, drawn like on the film. Anyway, yes.
They sold it on a white video cassette.
Ooh.
Really?
Ooh. I do remember that.
I didn't even get that. Wow. So there you go, kids. There's some trivia already. Busting out the trivia. Our special guest.
Not to. I will not name myself yet, but I will mention that I do live in the town in the lower 48 U.S. states, which contains the only Blockbuster video still in operation.
Really?
Whoa.
Okay, that's a hint, folks. So if you know, you probably know what we're talking about. Okay, I want to talk more about that, but hold that thought because that's fucking insane.
That is really insane. I was going to say, and half of our listeners may not know what video cassettes are either, because they've been around for a while too.
First one? Did it start in the place where you live?
No, it's the last one. There's this one, and then there's about four in Alaska, and that's about it.
But I was just thinking maybe like it was like the first McDonald's or something where they decided, okay, we're closing them all down, but let's keep the first one.
I want to say it was in Florida or something like that where they started.
Okay. All right. Well, wow. Roy, I'm sorry to have interrupted your story.
That's okay. I mean, as long as it's about movies, man, that's all.
Besides Ghost, what else?
Well, another one that I didn't expect is my favorite girl did Leon the Professional. Which, like, you wouldn't really think would be in a
In
a
which song. Role?
Both.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You would in Japan. Roy, do you know this?
It's quite popular here.
Do you know how popular that movie is here?
I mean, I haven't seen, like, buttons and stuffed animals from it, but...
There probably are buttons and stuffed animals to that movie. It was crazy, crazy popular here.
I think anything
love
that's
the Lolita
and anything that's French too. French stuff is pretty big.
Yeah, probably more the like 12-year-old
girls
love story.
That could be.
But the to the point where so it's called just Leon. I think here. Right?
Yeah.
Like back when I was coming here in the 90s, I was always like, why is that guy? What's his name?
Jean Reno.
Oh, I'm glad you know.
He had his moment. In the States, and the moment everywhere. But I mean, it was like...
And he had his moment in Onimusha 3. Yeah.
There you go.
I was just trying to remember whether it was Onimusha 2 or Onimusha
3. No, it was 3. 2 had the dead Japanese actor who was awesome.
That's right.
But, and that's a perfect example of how people were kind of like, wait, why is that guy in it? But in Japan, it made perfect sense because he's in tons of commercials, treated like a huge celebrity. That movie was on all the time, like the DVD and stuff. You just saw it everywhere. It was a big, big, big deal.
Is that the reason why... we're probably never going to see Onimusha get released on the PS4 or anything like that because of the licensing of Jean Reno.
It's an interesting question because that was before re-releases were so much of a thing starting from that. I gotta imagine he's pretty cheap these days.
Yeah, I don't. And also, Inafune left. Like, you know, there's the whole thing when like the guy who made the games left the company. They sort of let it.
True.
Like Mega Man was dead for like 10 years or whatever. Yeah.
They are doing that.
I know that's true. It's coming back. Anyway, sooner or later we'll get to the end of this.
Sorry, I was thinking.
Well, the other part of the nickname is that Filmstruck hashtag. I don't know if you guys saw that going around where people were like naming Filmstruck four movies. Four. Yeah. So
well, explain what it is for people.
So there was a hashtag going around Filmstruck 4 where people would post images or a list of their four movies that kind of like defined them, quote unquote, or, you know, were instrumental and formative, yada, yada, yada. And it's since kind of carried over into games now.
Morphed, if you will.
Exactly. So, does anybody want to throw in their four?
I think you do, Roy.
Do I? Okay.
I do, yeah.
I actually did this
earlier. You start us off.
What four games defined you, Roy?
So, Final Fantasy VII, I know you guys all... Yeah, I know. I know.
Wait, don't do that. Don't do that.
He always does that.
Why do people do that? I hate people who do that.
Right?
Or do what?
To dismiss Final Fantasy VII. Oh. Like, Final Fantasy VII...
We can have a whole other podcast on that. I wouldn't dismiss it.
Right?
I would certainly say it's not the greatest
I'm not
going to
audibly sigh during your selections.
But people...
I wouldn't have done that if you didn't point at me and say, don't do that. Then I'd like...
Well, I did it after the fact.
I think Final Fantasy VII is a perfectly legitimate choice as favorite Final Fantasy. I do.
For like a certain generation, right?
For a certain generation, but also, like, you could be, like... Yeah, like, I mean... A lot of people will be like, whatever your first Final Fantasy was, will be the one that they fall in love with. Like, 7 gets, it, despite the fact that there's a super hype around the remake, and there always has been, and it's sold like crazy or whatever, it gets kind of a surprisingly bad rap, I feel like. Like, as the popular one, like, quote-unquote. And, like, 8 gets, inversely, 8 gets, like, a... Oh, like 8 was so maligned, but it's actually really the great one or whatever. I completely disagree with that. Like,
yeah, they're both bad.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think 7's bad, but I mean, 7's not. 7 was a step back, I would say. But anyway, let's let Roy finish.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just going to rattle them off now. Then
we're going to do this each time with each one. No, they deserve. This is what the whole point of it is to like spur discussion, right?
Exactly.
We have no other games to talk about, people. No one played Ni No Kuni 2. No one played it.
I wouldn't.
Or
betrayed our listeners.
Okay, so
trade them.
I'm going to just muscle through these. Okay, next up is Breath of Fire 4.
All right.
Okay. That is a surprise. You only have four of these to choose from.
Yeah, I know. So this is the list I came up like earlier.
Monster Hunter has got to be in here somewhere.
It's not.
Roy probably talked about Breath of Fire 4 a lot.
Okay,
I think choice makes sense to
me. Get me drunk and I'll...
If it's possible to be wrong about your own choices, Roy, I have to say, I think you might be wrong.
Okay, next up is Dark Souls. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that.
No, that one I saw coming 10 miles away.
That could be on anybody's list, and I would not argue.
And then last is Disgaea.
Huh. Oh, that's a very good one.
How do these games define you exactly?
So,
well...
Wait, just quick...
Yeah.
Just to confirm. So, Disgaea...
Mm-hmm. Hour of Darkness for the PS2, I assume.
Correct.
The first one, yeah.
More than any Monster Hunter game defines you. The Monster Hunter, which kind of became your career.
Mm-hmm.
Monster Hunter, which you've written like books about.
Mm-hmm.
Monster Hunter, which you made a YouTube series about with your significant other.
Right.
But Disgaea, you feel like more defined you.
I guess it was just like... That particular time in my life is really memorable because it was like right when I was going to college, like when I left for college.
Right.
And like that was kind of my kind of thing that kept me grounded during all the major life changes.
I hear you.
And also it was like one of the first games that was like, hey, do you want to grind infinitely? Go ahead, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't really played anything like that. I mean, Monster Hunter does that to some degree, but it came along before Monster Hunter. And Monster Hunter has like... You know, five games or so that I've played.
Right.
It's hard to pick
spread
one
out.
Yeah,
I would never argue. Hey, this game you played the most, therefore that deserves to be on your list. And I would never argue like, hey, you wrote a book about this.
So right.
I would have to fucking have like Beyond the Beyond on my list if I if I fucking chose things that I had to write about.
Speaking of your list,
yeah. Speaking of my list, well, it's funny because I don't think I could limit it to four because this goes back to that other Twitter thing where it's like name your 10 games or whatever.
I think it's good to just do them quick.
Yeah.
Like, don't think about it too much.
Well, I would definitely say one that I think that would surprise people is Quake, which, which like completely like
did you
changed
play it
my life.
Did you play it on like the PC LAN in college or something like that?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What
you were like
almost
pro, right? More or less.
We were the first. It was in a clan back when that was like a new word. We like, I remember people talking, the MLG was even a thing then, and being like, what the fuck are they, no one's ever gonna make a living doing this, what the fuck are you talking about? Streaming was never like a concept that like you would, that was the, I think, the missing puzzle piece. But anyway, so Quake totally redefined gaming for me. It also, like, most importantly, it was like, I just am going to play this game nonstop because I can't kind of stop myself and like kind of let the chips fall where they may. And like, but that kind of taught me that and a bunch of, and a few other games, but like pursuing your passion is going to end up leading to something, which it did. And not coincidentally, all the people who I was in that clan with now are like in the gaming industry, a lot of them in, you know, high places and stuff like that. And all of us like thought kind of at the time we were ruining our lives because we were in college and we were just playing Quake nonstop. But it was such a paradigm shift as far as online gaming, multiplayer gaming, social gaming, just like so many different things.
Somewhere there's a bunch of kids that are like throwing their lives away. They're feeling inspired.
I hope so.
They're just going to keep grinding. And
I hope they should.
Anything feels a lot easier these days, you know.
Totally.
It absolutely
you know,
is.
You have, in this era of 9-year-old YouTubers and all that.
Yep. God damn, there's so many, though. And then Samurai Showdown 2 would definitely be another one, too, which is weird because I don't play first-person shooters too much anymore, and I don't play fighting games so much anymore. But Samurai Showdown 2 was just, I mean, I still play that game. I probably put the most hours collectively into that game than any game ever made.
Samurai Showdown 2?
Yeah.
Quake. More than Quake? No.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, because Quake had the multiplayer, but it was close. I mean, we used to just have weekends where we would just play Samurai Showdown 2 like 8 hours a day.
Wow.
Like, I mean, from 9 p.m. to like 4 a.m. or something like that. But 8 hours a day and constantly, yeah. It was scary. It was not healthy. Not healthy at all. I'm going to stop now, though, so other people can go, because I can think of like 20 others, but like there's too many.
I know, Graham, you got your list done. We talked about this on Slack, so do you want to shoot yours off?
Suikoden 2 is on there, yep.
Is some Romancing Saga garbage on there?
No.
Okay, good.
The other games on there are Street Fighter 4, because that was sort of like the game that brought me into the competitive gaming scene. I played a whole lot of that across all the versions of it. Can't really pick one, so I'll pick Street Fighter 4. It also just got me super into fighting games in general, which is something that, you know, lives to this day, so that's a big thing for me. Tetris is another one. That's just been like a constant in my life. I always go back to that.
Classic.
Yep. It's also just the best game.
Which version?
of Tetris, or do you not choose a version?
I'm not choosing a version here, right, because like it's a thing that
kind of
exists forever.
Kind of cheating, but okay.
It did the same thing for Street Fighter 4. Like that's the worst version of Street Fighter 4, but I just have to, you know, that is the thing.
Yeah,
I had to. Yeah, no, maybe Tetris DS.
Okay,
but anyway,
that's popular choice.
Yeah. And then Romance of the Three Kingdoms 8.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's probably like
that's your Disgaea.
You're the one guy I know who's ever played any of those games.
That game is phenomenal. A couple of those.
Yeah. So did you really?
Kind of. Tried to.
Seven and eight were the ones that we played specifically, like as an officer, not always as a liege lord. But anyway, that was like the game that.
Oh, finally, not as a liege
exactly,
lord.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the one that clued me into like I really love games that aren't games. Was the kind of thing.
Ah.
Like that, there was a lot of fun to be had in games that weren't doing just the play a game things. Like it's just a whole bunch of menus, and then occasionally you see Chinese people talk to each other. Then you move things around a map, and like there was something extremely compelling about this. So I mean, that's one of the ones like it opened up a whole new world of not regular games.
What was the game that destroyed your taste buds, like in your taste in food in general? What game was that?
Ori no Ryori on the
PS1. Was that? Yeah, Ori no Ryori. It's a good game.
It's a good ass game.
It's a really good game.
Yeah.
We might have to bring that up later in some of the user questions.
Oh, yeah.
Just it's almost time to have a PS1 episode. Maybe we should have planned that.
Oh, I would love it.
What?
Because, talking of food games on the PS1, of which approximately 130 or so were released, there is a...
That's why we have you on this podcast, yes. Mystery guest.
There is a PS1 game that was a simulation of running a Kokuichi.
What? What was that called? Kokuichi Curry.
It was called something like Kokuichi. It was just called like Kokuichi Banya, and it had some subtitle to it.
Was this like for sale in stores, or was this one of those like the chuck wagon things where you had to send?
It was for sale in stores.
Proof of purchases,
and
okay.
It was kind of like a sort of an action-y type thing where customers would go in and you have to make orders, and they would
root beer tapper style.
Very much so.
The orders out. Mystery guest, I feel like we need to, because Roy's nickname has become like now a topic of conversation, and I do want to continue it, but I think we should introduce you, Kevin the Giant Gifford. I have to tell you that I've been watching the Andre the Giant documentary.
That was amazing.
It was just fantastic, right?
So
you
good.
Watched it?
Yes.
And, 87 teeth, you have two hearts. So it's just like the coincidences were too many there. You're 8 foot.
106 yeah, beers every day.
Exactly. You've had that. You grew up in rural France. I mean, there were just too many similarities. You are wearing a cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the show. Awesome to have you back in Japan and on the show.
It's worth knowing that Andre was touted as, I believe, 7'4". Giant Baba. You know, his Japanese equivalent was touted as, I think, 6'11 or something like that, and I'm only 6'8".
Okay.
So.
Well, see, but like Andre the Giant, who, like, people were like, he was above 7 foot, but they just called it 7'4".
Yeah.
We just say you're 7 feet.
Good enough.
Yeah, close enough.
I am in Japan, after all, where in my Airbnb, I do need to kind of bend down a little bit in order to keep my head from hitting the ceiling on the lobby of the 13th floor where I'm at.
I would imagine so. I would imagine that's a common occurrence for you.
Mm.
Being back here in Japan, which if people have not been longtime listeners, they should go back and search for Kevin Gifford episodes, such as our Super Nintendo special, our Famicom special. We've had a lot of awesome, amazing retro talk. For people who might not have listened to those, though, can you like give yourself a brief introduction vis-a-vis like video games? Obviously you're doing a lot of other stuff now too, which we'll talk about, but like where might people know you from in the video game world?
Well, I worked with you guys, well, for the same company anyways, for Ziff Davis, not long after I graduated from college, and contributed to both.
You're not going
to
start before that? You're not going to start with TSR?
Well, okay, yeah.
Let's start from the start, man.
All right. Well, in 1995, then, I started a website devoted to collecting Nintendo Entertainment System video games. It was called TSR's NES Archive, following the pattern of websites at the time, which were always like named like, you know, Jeff's Monty Python fan site.
Did you have a star background? And did you count how many visitors you had to the webpage?
Oh, right, a counter, yeah.
I did have a counter.
Nice.
And, I did not have stars, but yes, every HTML page on that site was hand-coded by myself.
Okay. But was it an animated wallpaper, at least.
I had some animated stuff,
that's
but
what I'm talking
I was
about.
A bit more of a purist.
Oh, all right.
A purist.
Yes.
CS
very minimal
major
design, only like 20 mm-hmm. flaming skulls,
right, yeah, yeah,
60
yeah.
different fonts on the same page. Yeah, all right.
So via that, I came to know a couple of collectors, some of which were involved in the game industry as well. And so I majored in computer science and eventually got a minor in Japanese after spending a year in Japan, not going to classes and instead hanging out in Shinjuku and collecting Famicom games.
Yep. Well, you were a student in Japanese college, so like that's kind of appropriate.
It's kind of par for the course,
yeah,
indeed.
That's kind of how it works here.
So upon graduation, I first joined GamePro magazine, and then about a year and a half after that, I joined Ziff Davis and came to know John and Mark and Mr. Shane Benhausen and Christian Nutt and many other people who are still involved heavily in the video game industry.
So at 1UP.com, you were hired.
I was headhunted by Shane basically to be one of the founding members of 1UP.com, which I hasten to add that the 1UP.com, which is fondly remembered these days for all the...
saying it was not fondly remembered at the time?
I would say that it really only came into its own after I left it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. At the start, there were a lot
sort of thing.
Top 10 lists and, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Don't forget where you interned for the summer in the year 2000 before all of that.
Sorry.
You found you first, Kevin.
How could you skip that, Kevin?
I apologize. I did before all of that. Knowing folks via the NES collecting community gave me an internship for the summer 2000 at gamers.com.
Right.
Which
was right
legendary.
Before before I came here.
Speaking of Quake, with the Ferrari,
Annihilation
Tournament Ferrari in the lobby.
Wall down to get that in the lobby.
Did they really?
Yeah, they took the wall down to get the Ferrari in. Yeah.
It was pretty much like a warehouse building anyways, I think. But yes, if you think modern.coms are a bit wacky, gamers.com was doing that stuff 18 years ago. So it just goes to show that nothing's really new in this world.
It's all cyclical, Kevin. It's all cyclical. Just like you coming back on the podcast, where we're super happy to
have
you.
Every year or so. Thank you.
And then more recently now you're doing translation, which a lot of it for our friends here at 84.
Indeed, yes.
Including Nier, a little game you might have heard of.
Indeed. What was it? I think it was myself that did the original translation for the, I think all the story-based elements for Automata.
Yeah.
Someone else.
And the original
that was me.
And the original Nier as well. I think someone else did like the item descriptions and more the nuts and bolts stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
I like how dismissively you said that. Like, it's item descriptions and like all that bullshit. Like
the sound novel parts
that
too.
Like sweeping.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was sad that you did a very good job on the sound novel parts.
Thank you.
Oh. I did the.
Well, let's also remember
Alan Avril
goes over
the meat and potatoes of Nier.
Yeah. With a pretty heavy pen.
Alan makes it all
by
pretty.
By design, yeah.
Mm. So I've worked on that. I've worked on a number of projects over the years for 8.4.
Let's drill into that for a second, though. Let's talk about translating Nier. So you, of course, it goes through many layers. It goes through Alan and John. Well, actually, I guess just really those layers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first Nier especially, yeah.
The first Nier especially. But what's something you could tell people who don't, understand Japanese or whatever about something you noticed or something you've learned translating both of those games about Nier, about Yokotaro, about his stories and how things are written in Japanese? Maybe it's something that doesn't necessarily come across in English or comes across differently, or there's like a nuance that is impossible to get over, or what do you think about that?
That's the thing about it, of course, is that in some ways, much like people say that Haruki Murakami has become a very well-known international author, in part because he his prose in Japanese is very similar to, he's definitely very influenced by a lot of Western authors and that sort of thing, and it kind of comes through in his original compositions as well. And I'm not going to say that Yokotaro was influenced by this or that Western game, but clearly, he has an approach to storytelling in particular, which is a fair bit different from what you see in other action games, RPGs, and so on, which are produced in Japan. He very much takes the approach. I saw his GDC talk about this a couple years back. He definitely takes the approach of, all right, I'm going to set up this world, I'm going to set up these characters, these situations, and then I'm going to find a way to basically fuck it up as much as I possibly can, and then see what kind of fun things result from that. And so I think that was clearly the case in Nier. I think Automata gives maybe even the slightest glimmer of hope for some of it, but not as much as... terrifying as Nier can be, in the original Nier can be in that way. But you know, I think that philosophy is extremely fresh. And along those lines, I don't know. I did not find it to be a super difficult project to translate, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
We really didn't have to, you know, adjust dialogue or do a whole...
There wasn't a lot of stuff where you couldn't tell...
There was a whole lot of stuff I couldn't tell.
You had to go back and ask questions about things and stuff like that.
And even like, well, compared to that, Revengeance, for example.
Right.
Metal Gear. That is a game which, well, of course, Metal Gear games are at their best when they're when they have the most convoluted and jargon-ridden and trivia-laden dialogue as possible.
Yeah.
So I do remember asking a whole bunch of questions for that, or all of us do, I'm sure.
I remember, I wish I had saved my Google search history while we were translating that, because it was like, okay, like...
I'm sure the government saved it.
One day it was like Kazakhstan, like oil... prices or whatever.
Abkhazia, the you know, the unrecognized you know, kind of state in the former Kazakhstan.
Is that the one where the pipes are going across it?
That was the first level after the intro level.
Okay, right. But I just remember having to read a lot of like, okay, this is touching on this actual real world controversy that I never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also distinctly remember going to the Globe here in the office and measuring, like, okay, how long would it take for somebody to drill? Or, like, maybe it was how many miles it was to drill from, like, Washington, D.C. through the Earth to China? Is that where they ended up in then the game? It's been a while. But, like, I remember it being, like, a lot of different... But it was every day it was something crazy. And then it was like, oh, I had to, like... Google this recipe to see if this is actually true that you would use it. Like, there was so many.
They referenced balut at 1.2, I believe. You know, the fermented duck eggs from Southeast Asia, which contained a partially fertilized duck fetus inside of them. And you just kind of eat it all in one bit.
Yeah. See, I did not know that. I was never going to need to know this again. Right. Let's get rid of this as fast as we can. This is exactly the kind of stuff I wish I would have saved it, because it was all over the place. And like, some of it was really like dumb slapsticky stuff. I mean, I guess that's kind of part of the genius of Metal Gear. And like, one of the great things about that story is it really was all over the place. It was like deep political shit. And then one second, and then it was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty silly surface stuff. So yeah, that's one that we worked on together with Brian Gray as well, who worked on the main scenario of that.
And now you're doing porn. Oh no! What is it? You moved on to something that's not games at the moment.
It's not is not pornography.
If it's porn, you could say it's porn.
No.
Porn friendly podcast.
Although it's very amusing, I did.
Graham, you don't think Graham makes all his money from A4? Why do you think he's at the gym 3 hours a day?
Well, so you can
put in work. Awkward
I work
now.
For it. I work
it's
for
become
it.
Awkward.
I'm at other places at 5 a.m.
I do not do pornography. I do light novels and manga, but none of it has been pornography yet.
So erotic light novels.
I like that you had the yet on there.
They're not erotic light novels.
Oh, okay.
They have they may have some erotic humor in them, but there's no. Yeah, I promise you, all the illustrations are totally on the up and up, and there's no like tentacles or like elephant trunks or anything in them. I bring that up because
so softcore light novels.
I'll describe them as romantic comedies.
Skinamax light novels. Is that where should we land?
Slice of life Skinamax comedies.
So yeah, but what are these? Like, where would one find these? You're translating them obviously into English for them to be published at bookstores, or just like direct from Amazon, or
digital?
A bit of both. Well, all three, actually.
Okay.
You know, you can get them in print form off of Amazon and on the individual websites of places like Yen Press and Kodansha USA.
Give me some sample titles to get a feel for this. Red Shoe Diaries 7.
Well, I'll give you...
Tetsuo Comes Home or something. What?
Comes spelled C-U-M-M-S, right? Yeah.
Kevin, see where you go with that? This is why they pay you the big bucks. That's why I can never do this, and why you will never be out of a job.
Thank you. Well, the series I've translated the most light novel volumes of, and I also work with the manga version too, is called The Devil is a Part-Timer. Or in Japanese, it's called Hataraku Maou-sama.
That one's funny.
Yeah, they put out a anime season of it, I think, a couple years back.
Yeah, I saw it.
Which covers like the first three or so volumes. And is you know, rom-com territory. Is not hot porno as much as Mark would like it to be.
Trust me, I would not like that.
I'm sure you can find some thinly bound manga volumes that parts of Akihabara that cover the characters. But
let me guess, without knowing anything about this, let me guess what it is, because I think it's probably apparent from the title. But also, there's a lot of similar things around Japan. The actual devil, Satan himself, works like a part-time job, like at a convenience store or something in Japan.
It's a very thinly veiled McDonald's.
Oh, okay. All right, got it.
Is it WickDonald's?
It's well, and it works a lot better in Japanese than English. In Japanese, McDonald's gets pronounced McDonald's.
Yeah,
and
exact same as my name, by the way.
Yeah, and their parody version of it the parody version of it is McDonald's. So McRonald instead of McDonald's.
All right.
And so Maul, or it's not, his name is Satan, but he's not the Christian Satan. He's just a regular old Maul named Satan.
Guy named Satan.
Yes.
So more like a devil than devil.
I mean, it's one of those isekai things. It's kind of the reversal of the usual isekai formula. Isekai, meaning another world in Japanese, is an extremely hackneyed genre of light novels where, you know, a regular old otaku teenager gets transported into another world and suddenly becomes like a super amazing, powerful dude.
Right.
Here, the devil and his nemesis are fighting it, duking it out.
His nemesis
is the hero, Emilia Justina, who...
of course.
Yes. And they're duking it out. It's a final battle over there.
Back up. Is this like a Jesus analog, or is this just a coworker who's Emilia like a rival? More like a rival. Like an angel, or...
Just a girl with a sword, as far as I remember it.
Yes. Yeah. She is Yusha, or the hero. Yeah.
Yes.
And eventually, angels and other characters do show up.
Got it.
As of volume 10 or so, there are some oblique references to a man upstairs, but the author... Satoshi Wagahara kind of is quite good at not putting like deliberate super Christian overtones to it.
Okay.
Does it
explain why, maybe this goes into spoiler territory, but like, why is the devil on working a part-time job? Or a devil?
This is volume one territory. What happens is they're finding their amazing final battle in this alien world. And a portal is opened up via assorted auspices to Japan, and they're both blown into it. And in the process, they lose all of their magical powers because Earth is a non-magic world, and this other world is.
Got it.
And so both the devil and the hero are tossed into Japan and forced to fend for themselves. And so they have to use what little remaining magic they have within their bodies to basically create fake identities for themselves.
Mm.
And as a result of that, the devil, who becomes Maul written in a different way from Maul, works at McDonald's. And Emilia Justina, the hero, becomes Amy Yusa. And she works at a call center for Docomo, or which is called Dokodemo in the parody version.
Okay. So this is obviously going to be a lot of comedy, right?
Which is
notoriously tough to do, always.
Oh, it can be.
Are you actually sweating the joke, or are you just like... Here, I'm just going to give this to an editor who's going to have to worry about the joke and going to do it more or less verbatim, you know, literal, and explain what the joke is and why it's funny in Japanese, and then let them come up with the English equivalent.
Well, I can speak for my experiences, which is that in terms of light novels, the translator is given a fair bit of leeway in terms of, translating... Around very culturally specific things like that.
Yeah.
That's one of the advantages, of course, with the novel, which is that if a concept is brought up which an English-speaking reader of this novel would not understand, then there are ways to write an explanation into it.
See issue 132.
I'm not even doing a footnote, just being able to kind of work that into the narrative and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
There's that, or, you can also, we've had to redo some jokes in video games in our assorted localizations in the past. And there's, some of that as well in novels.
Go ahead.
And so I get a fair bit of leeway in that respect in terms of how to write around stuff like that in light novels. Manga, on the other hand, English translations of Japanese manga, the audience expects it to be, like, much closer to the original Japanese.
Interesting.
And so cultural references and so on usually get footnotes in the back of the book.
I see. Mm-hmm. But is there somebody going over this stuff after
you?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
There are editors.
I do have an editor, yes. And okay. Said editor is, also bilingual and okay. Is able to go over all that stuff. And, we go back and forth on this sort of thing as well.
What is there a joke that you're super proud of that was like, okay, that just did not come across at all in Japanese, but we came up with this?
Oh, I'm going to have to think about that for
English.
A second.
You can let that stew. We got to go back to Roy's. We're still doing Roy's whatever.
Nickname.
Super 4. Whatever.
Super 4 games or whatever that was called. Hashtag.
We also haven't done John's nickname again.
Yep, we're gonna introduce John. All right.
We'll get there next week.
Well, so I did my 4. You did 2.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten Kevin's yet. Might as well just jump into Kevin's.
Yeah, go for it, Kevin.
So the games that defined me the most is exactly how it's phrased?
Or were formative to who you are now.
To who I am now.
Hmm.
Well, let's see. Number one would certainly have to be one Super NES RPG or another that came out in the mid-90s. I will arbitrarily put it as Chrono Trigger.
Mm.
Because, it was certainly not the first RPG to come out over there. But it was it's absolutely, in my opinion, the most beautiful RPG to come out for the Super Nintendo or Super Famicom.
Have you seen the Steam version?
I've seen enough of it.
Yeah.
What's up with Square in doing this stuff?
We have it in the news.
We do have something in the news.
They patched it.
I know. So. They're a little uneven. Yeah, they're trying, it seems like, but they're trying. Yeah. Anyway.
But
when's the last time you played Chrono Trigger?
Oh, shoot. I played it on one portable or another when it came out.
DS.
Yeah, the DS.
That's a good adjunct to this conversation is when's the last time you played these games or mm-hmm. would you play them again? Do you still like them? Which is not necessarily the case, but sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
After that, when I joined Gamers.com in 2000, that was
very formative experience we've already established.
And so I'd not really played any video games on the PS1 or the Saturn before that point because I kind of fell out of video games. Modern video games, I should say.
Yeah.
And so I was lent a PS1 and Andrew Vestal's little catalog of CDs.
Friend of the show who's here, was OG 84 employee, was here in Japan, now working at the Amazon Games.
Yep. And amongst the things that he gave me were, I'm not going to say Final Fantasy VII, it was Final Fantasy VIII.
All right.
Oh.
And that was a game that kind of I played. I had seen some Final Fantasy VII in the past. I had played some in the past. And FF8, in my opinion, was much more of an actual full-on, extremely deep Final Fantasy game as opposed to FF7, which kind of struck me as a bit of a really amazing, but really a big mishmash of stuff too.
Okay.
And so that kind of got me on the idea that, hey, maybe I can specialize in talking about these sorts of RPGs to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I wound up writing about video games. Third most formative game.
Don't force it if you don't have it.
Game that find me.
You don't have to do all four.
Oh, I had to bring a Whiplash. Whiplash coming out for...
I forgot about you and Whiplash.
Oh, that's a great game.
I forgot about you and Whiplash.
I've deliberately have not played it since it came out in 2003, but...
For people who don't... For the 99.9% of our listeners who have no idea what the fuck Whiplash is outside of the movie...
It has a soundtrack by the dude from Information Society. He's well known.
Okay. Besides that, what's the one-sentence elevator pitch for Whiplash?
All right, so imagine you're a weasel, and you're strapped to a rabbit, and you gotta escape the evil lab.
There you go.
That sounds awesome.
Yep. Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Platformer, 3D platformer.
Yep, for the three main systems of that generation, PS2, Xbox, GameCube. Very cartoony in the trying to be Warner Brothers, trying to be edgy Warner Brothers-y kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it, it was released by Eidos and developed by Crystal Dynamics. I gave it
Crystal D.
I gave it an 8 at EGM, and I think I was definitely the top scorer on that one. You guys,
even one of your four most formative games, you gave an 8. And I feel like you talked about this game constantly. It was like your avatar everywhere.
It was.
Like I just associate you with was it a weasel? What was it?
It's Spanx the weasel. I thought it was cute.
Spanx. Is that with an X?
Yes.
Of course it is. Yeah. Spanx the weasel. All right. Anyway,
the question isn't what do you think the best games are. I think that's a perfect.
No, I didn't. Listen, I didn't. I put, that's true. That's
I put it this way. That game made me branded as a furry for the rest of my career at Ziff Davis, just because I rather liked a game where you play a cartoon animal.
Now I don't.
And
okay.
Then after
in
that,
fairness to the other people at Ziff Davis, I think there was more to it than that. It wasn't just you gave it an 8 and like moved on.
Right, that's true.
You were obsessed with that game. For a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And also you had Ferris.
Well, the Ferris came afterwards when I moved to Texas because Ferris are legal to own in California. But, yes, it was also that.
There are really, ways around that that we won't talk about on this podcast.
I really wanted to get some Ferris as well.
Yeah.
And so maybe that has something to do with
it.
All
right.
I unfortunately don't have any Ferris now, but once I get a new place over in Oregon, I definitely want to get some again. Well, I get some more
farm.
Space. Yeah.
Farm.
Yeah.
Maybe you should name one Spanx. That would be ideal.
And that would be full circle.
But then nobody would understand the reference, so man.
What was the bunny named? It was a bunny?
Redmond.
Okay, wow. Okay. Evil lab guy. Evil.
I forget the name of the antagonist.
Okay,
the name of the lab was Genron, which was a reference to Enron, which was new news at the time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That kind of dates it.
Yes, it does.
All right. Speaking of dating it.
Oh, and by the way, number 4 is the New York Times crossword puzzle app on the.
Doesn't count. That's why. No.
Second time ever mentioned on this podcast.
That totally counts.
We're not accepting that as an answer. That and Disgaea. Roy, what is.
Disgaea is acceptable.
I know. Okay. Hi.
John.
What do we got here? Who's our last guest?
So this is going to lead to more arguing, but this is John, for whom the bell tolls, Ricciardi.
Hmm. Yeah, I like it so far without having any idea what it's about.
Right. So
it's about that Game Boy game.
Recently, the Super Tasters at 8-4 have fallen in love with Taco Bell.
Have you guys been going to Taco Bell in Dolgenzaka?
Yeah, there's another one. There's a second one.
Oh, no kidding.
There's a new
one. Wait, did you say the Super Tasters?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, because you guys are so convinced that the taco place that everybody else is partial to is wrong. But
is it just Graham?
No, I like it too.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
Shane likes it.
You like it better than
exactly.
Has Shane ever eaten that?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's just being.
We took him there
right after he went to Mexico, and he was like, he was down on it.
Yeah.
Okay. As I explained to Graham in retort to his like, how much does it cost for 5 tacos? And it's like 1,200 yen. It's like, oh, that's not all you can eat, then it's not worth it.
So,
dirt is all you can eat. Sawdust is pretty close to free. You can go and eat that whenever you want and get the same or better flavor.
See, like,
than
I just
that garbage.
I see this as like just two fucking old dudes who just like the shit they've always been eating.
Oh, yeah. It's not that cool, edgy, terrible tacos. We just get it.
You don't understand. You guys don't know how to have fun.
Culture.
You want something from a menu. You want them to decide what you want to eat. Whereas you can go into Tex-Mex and pick whatever you want, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Just mix it up. Yeah.
Exactly.
The dirt that is brown.
The tortilla is like sometimes tastes like loose leaf paper. I mean, it's not.
The meat has no taste to it.
I think you guys just need you guys. I mean, as you get older,
you're eating
your taste
the
buds,
cheapest cheese.
As you get older, your taste buds die.
As possible.
I think your taste buds are dying, and you just can't. You need like this giant explosion of steak.
Right. Well, so you swallowed that M80 in Canada that's legal up there, and you fucking blew out all your taste buds and ruined your sense of smell and taste and video games forever.
I love getting like talked to about Mexican food when you guys are like Taco Bell's the shit, man. Taco Bell.
No one ever says Taco Bell's the shit.
Well,
in fact, I think I've had
Taco Bell like twice in the last 10 years, and they were both in the last week.
Same. Same.
Twice in a week.
You're trying to Bettenhausen us here into a corner that does not exist, where we're saying it's close, it's cheap,
it's the simplest way to phrase this.
It's way better than that fucking garbage. Mm-hmm.
Right, so if we were to say, which would you rather go to, you would say...
No fucking question.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yes.
Then Taco Bell?
Anybody would. Wait, there's a reason one...
Taco Bell versus the place that Graham and I like. That
I would
make your own
100%
tacos.
Do Taco Bell, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
in fairness, Roy, have you had Taco Bell?
We went there this week.
Yeah, we went together.
Oh, you did? You went...
We went in the same day that you went with JJ, and it was like not quite as good, so, but yeah.
Well, I think it was not quite as good because we've eaten it in the past, like, year. Which before that eaten it in the past many years. I literally hadn't eaten it in Japan, period, until one opened right up the street from our new office.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Which is also a block away from the gym you don't go through.
That's true. Oh. So Graham was like, oh, that's been in Dokuzaku forever, old man. Like, yeah. Why don't you know? Like, oh, right. It's like,
right there, dude.
No, idiot. It's okay. Brand new. It's been there for
opening
a month.
Opening another one right there. Down the street does not make it like a brand new Taco Bell. It's not... No, new invention with new taste. It's still just Taco Bell.
No, I know, but it's still a new Taco Bell.
It's convenient.
I don't know why they have two in Shibuya too.
They're very close to each other too. It doesn't make any sense. But that was a good nickname, Roy. That was a clever reference.
Thank you. Yeah. One problem I had with it though is, so I got this Crunchwrap Supreme thing.
Yeah,
which is kind of like if you just took a cheeseburger and like ran it through a garbage disposer and then put it in like a. In like a tortilla, like a hard tortilla.
If you get the beef one, I guess.
Well, yeah,
yeah. It's like
it's not a hard tortilla.
It's like
soft
if you took a taco and put it in a tortilla.
Right, but right? Without the things like the only actual like taco ingredient in it was like sour cream. It didn't even have salsa.
They don't have salsa.
It didn't have guac. It didn't have cilantro, which are all things, by the way, that you can put as much as you would like on
hot sauce.
Oh yeah.
At Tex-Mex Factory.
So, but to be fair, that thing has meat, cheese, lettuce. And taco sauce. In.
Right.
And
which,
I think tomatoes.
Right, which is kind of like, again, if you took a burger and just ground it up.
Or a taco.
Or a taco. But it lacks.
Exactly how they describe
it. It lacks the ingredients that make Mexican food uniquely
love this
flavorful.
Dude that wait, hates like, McDonald's.
I mean, you've spent a lot of time near the border.
Yeah, I mean, I recently went to the Taco Bell off of 3rd Street in Bend, Oregon, and I can tell you that. You know, the Irish taco over there has, I believe, ground beef and lettuce and tomato and sour cream. It sounds similar enough to me. Mm. You
that's
put on your own hot sauce.
That's that's a side thing. But the thing is, in Japan, they don't give it to you.
Right, they charge you 100 yen for salsa or guac.
For salsa, you're right. Hot sauce they put on there, but yeah. Salsa okay. They charge separately.
I mean,
so again, here is saying that the Taco Bell is fine dining. It's all relative.
Yeah.
People, before commenting on this, you included Kevin Gifford, have to go to this fucking shit pile that these guys pay money to eat at.
The Tex-Mex
and there's a
factory.
Reason why it is all you can eat.
Ah.
That's all I'll say.
Meanwhile, this guy loves a McDonald's cheeseburger crunched up and served in a tortilla.
Who?
You.
Who are you talking
but
about?
Hates
loves
McDonald's.
McDonald's
no,
dude.
So you hate McDonald's, but you love just the
it's
McDonald's
taco.
Of Mexican food.
Just, why do you keep calling it a cheeseburger? Like,
because it
it's
is.
It's a taco in a tortilla.
No, it's just a...
That is
it's
what
a taco
is.
In a tortilla.
But I mean, like,
guys,
because it lacks...
They've been beaten down by the taco place so bad
like,
that they've
well,
forgotten what
a
real taco is.
But there's ground beef, which is in a taco. There's lettuce, which is in a taco. And there's... It's
sour
like,
cream.
What's a taco? It's like
Jesus.
You took a cheeseburger.
There's a lot of sour cream in there.
It's like you took a cheeseburger and ground it up and put it in a taco shell.
Yeah, you've got ground meat,
like,
you've got lettuce and tomato. That's what's
no,
on
that
the
guac, is no cilantro,
taco.
No hot sauce. Like,
it's a taco, but...
For this mild...
No salsa on a taco, to me, is criminal.
What the fuck is that?
No, but you put it
oh,
on
okay.
yourself.
Still getting the salsa.
You put it on yourself if you pay 100 yen.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but I mean, in America, you put it on yourself, too. Like, you don't, like...
Well, salsa,
but we're not talking about America. We're talking about Taco Bell.
It comes down to money. But if we're talking about which one's cheaper... Then I agree with you. If we're talking about which one is better if you spend the money, spend the money and find out.
It should also be noted that the Taco Bell location that opened up in Dogenzaka about a month ago is wholly surrounded by Love Hotels.
No, that was that opened
no,
like
that's
two or three years,
few
ago.
Years ago.
Oh, fun.
And this one is not far from there. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, but yes. So I think their main target is certainly people who are hanging out in Shibuya at 1 in the morning.
I will say...
Much like at home, then, isn't it?
I will say, I don't think the new one's going to be there very long.
No.
Because there's nobody in there, and it's actually kind of hard to find.
Oh.
Yeah, which is not a great thing. But anyway, back to the four. Have we all given our four? John, you haven't done yours yet.
No, I haven't. I tweeted my four, but...
That doesn't count.
Okay. I'm gonna just spit them off real quick. I basically
well,
picked,
talk about them.
Well, I basically picked the four games that from like the early gen days that sort of influenced my taste, which ultimately made me. I was like an RPG guy for the longest time,
yeah.
Even before a lot of people even knew what RPGs were. Like I was just all I wanted to play.
Yep,
and like
me too.
The two.
I was playing RPGs before there was a fucking Famicom. Okay. I was playing RPGs at the same time that the guys at Square were playing RPGs.
Well, that's what partly...
young man.
Hi.
Little young up? Buck before fucking Suikoden 2 was a twinkle in the eye. Whatever.
Two of my four games were in 1982, I found, and I actually don't know which one came out first now. I had always in my mind thought that the computer one came out first, but anyway, they are Dungeons of Daggerwrath, which is a TRS-80 color computer game.
Oh, yes.
It's a first-person dungeon crawler, very atmospheric, super like moody game that got me really into it's literally like line art, so like you it moves very smoothly and everything, and it has a really awesome sound, but it's line art, so it forces you to kind of use your imagination to envision the game world, and that was really effective at that.
Is that the game that does not have like an on-screen HP display, but that instead you have a heartbeat
yep.
that determines how close to dying you
yes.
are?
Yes. Mm. And
like not the best idea, but
no, it's actually really amazingly effective at detention. Like, you know, when you're being chased by a monster and your heart starts going faster or whatever, that's the only way Actually, and apparently it's in Ready Player One, too. Like almost disappoints me, because I loved the fact that almost nobody ever knows this game when I bring it up, but now everyone's going to know
From what I can tell, everything is in Ready Player One.
Fair enough. That's
kind of the idea.
Has anybody here seen that, by the way?
Not
is
yet.
Is it out here?
It's out next week.
Okay. Yeah. I need to see that.
I want to see it. Cool. I mean...
Yeah, even though...
I didn't hate the book as much as everybody does, like, because the concept of the book I liked. I mean, the writing, it was kind of shit, but the idea itself is actually very interesting. But
that describes a lot of light novels as well, so...
There you go. My second one was Advanced Dungeons & Dragons for Intellivision. Some people call it Cloudy Mountain. That's not, like, the official name, but, like, it's basically...
Really? People call it Cloudy Mountain?
Yeah, yeah, because there was another one, like Treasure of Tarmin
or
something.
That's right,
Just this sort of...
That game was big for me.
Very similarly was a game that did a lot with the little, like the mood of that game. Yeah, it was like you're running around a random dungeon that you can only see a little bit in front of you, and you hear a lot of stuff in the distance.
You gotta do some sounds from that. I know you
I remember like the dragon was like... Yeah, that's much better. Yours is good, yeah.
And the mice?
And there's shit, I don't remember what the mice sound like.
Remember that?
And there was like poop and stuff, and like that meant the dragon was nearby.
Yep.
Actually, it is a really interesting moody game, and did a lot of things that...
Below, when I see Below, I think of nothing more than that Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, and that's a good meaning behind that.
Like, yeah. Well, there's another game that I'm not going to mention because it's not announced yet, but that I know of in the works that reminds me very much of like a modern take on that. So we'll see where that is like 2 years or so
from
now. Tell
me that at the break.
But okay. And my other two were Zelda 1, obviously. Like, still probably my favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
And then Dragon Quest V, because Dragon Quest V is, you know, it's not weird. It's not an exaggeration to say, like, that game is probably why I live here, right? Like, that's the game that got me into Japanese, the game that made me, like, realize there was this whole other world out there, blah, blah, blah. Right. So those are my four. Mm. I mean, and like choices. You, I could, if you asked me tomorrow, I might have four different ones. But,
yeah,
like,
I
was trying to go...
more, because, like, I want to keep those last two to mean, like, 20 different games.
Well, I purposely said, like, they were, like, early era. Like, these, I decided, like, okay, I like RPGs. What were, like, the sort of, yeah, like, I picked a sort of theme and
firsts.
Then went with those four, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what I understand that it's supposed to be, but I was, like, looking through the hashtag for this, and I got really pissed off on Twitter, because I see a bunch of people as, like, the games that define you, and, like, every other person's picking Breath of the Wild and shit. Like, this game from last year.
Yeah.
Like, The Last of Us, Dermot picked The Last of Us as one of his games.
Well, okay, that one I would eke through, because I think for a lot of people...
He's young enough?
That game... No. But, like, for that... A lot of people, I think that game proved that actually games could have narratives at a certain level. Or that, like, affected you or made you think at a certain level, which actually, you know... Because a lot of people would put, like... It's just... It does have to do with, I think, how old you are, but a lot of people would put... certain Final Fantasy games as that was the first time they
I'm talking about like how recent they are. Like, can it be a
formative
experience?
Like, he was like 7 when that came out, right? Or whatever. I mean,
Dermot. Yeah, no, he was like, he was a child back then. Yeah. But it's just like Breath of the Wild
as
and stuff like that is like, it just happened, guys.
Yeah,
it hasn't had time to define you.
Well, and also Breath
of the
Wild.
Unless
it's
the first game you ever played or something.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild is also like an amazing refinement, but it is very much a refinement and taking from a lot of other things. So yeah, there might be, if you haven't been playing a lot of those games, then maybe that could be year one. I'm sure 10 years from now that will
definitely
people,
be somebody's.
But,
but
yeah, that does strike a little. Yeah, even great games like even, you know, like Monster Hunter World would be a little odd to me, because it's like, well, yeah, I mean, but that's
also came out a month
taken
ago.
From here and here and there, and it came out so recently.
Yeah, there are certainly other games that are like completely different genres, completely different styles of games that are super random and weird that no one would ever, that I would say define, you know, me to some degree too, but I just wanted to stick with the theme, so.
So let's, I know it's a short segment, but let's go over quickly what you've been playing, because I think it's not exactly topical, but I think there are a couple interesting things here.
Yeah.
Or what you've been doing, I guess. For example, John, you went to this Xenogears concert. Like, some people even flew here for this.
20th anniversary of Xenogears. They did a concert. Yasunori Mitsuda, the composer who also composed like Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross, a bunch of huge games, did this performance. It was... And I've been to, like, probably, I don't know, 10 or so game music concerts in my life. It was by far the best ever. It was
better than the Zelda ones.
Much better. It was amazing. Wow. Like, production values were through the roof. Up until a couple of days after, you could find it on YouTube. I don't know if it's still on there or not. Like, just like, so they, first of all, they did it at this theater out in near Disneyland. It was like Maihama, which is very rare. They're usually around the greater Tokyo area. This is called the Maihama Amphitheater. This huge, really nice, like, arena, whatever you want to call it, concert hall, with, like, a huge stage, crazy lighting. You know, the stage itself had, like, the center hole, like, goes down into the ground, and, like, people were descending up out of the ground and shit. Mm. And, like, the lighting was all, like, in tune with the music, and they were playing footage of the game in the background. You probably would see bits and pieces of these things in other concerts, but they kind of had it all going at once, super well choreographed. Mm. And the arrangements were, like, phenomenal. Like, super, super, super good arrangements. Xenogears is one of the best soundtracks, I would say, of any game ever. And they had these, like, this Irish, like, I don't know what they are, Anuna? They're, like, this Irish, like, folk something or other. And they were, like, doing, like, kind of choir music. No, they're, like, come out, like, Xenogears has a lot of, like,
not fucking Irish dancing.
I think they did stuff for Xenoblade 2.
Maybe, yeah. Xenogears has a lot of, like, you know, religious-sounding things. Like, people in the background. Yeah, and they had, like, Celtic harp. And they had, like, Joanne, what's her name? Joanne Hogg?
Herzog?
Hogg is her last name. I think her first name is Joanne. Basically, the singer who sang the theme song at the end of the original Xenogears, 20 years later, actually came out from Ireland and sang the song at the end. It was amazing. Like, it was the best concert I've ever been to.
Still had her voice, too?
She did a really good job, but, like, you could tell they changed a couple parts minorly because there was just no way she was going to be able to handle
it. Hit those notes, yeah.
But she did great. The crowd was super into it. Like, the performers were all having fun. People in the audience were, like, crying. Like, by the end, they were like, you know, like, when they were saying thanks, they did a standing ovation for, like, 5 minutes, which I've never seen at any kind of Japanese concert. You know, Japanese, like, movies and concerts, people don't, like, make a lot of noise. They were, like, standing and cheering. Yeah,
even at like Radiohead, like between when there was like talking or something between sets, like you could hear a fucking pin drop.
That's right.
Yeah,
it was incredible. I think, you know, Mitsuda is kind of a legend in game music, and he's really come into his own obviously over the years. But this to me was like he was smiling the whole way through because he wasn't performing too. But you could just tell like this was like for that guy like a career like high for sure. It was amazing.
Very cool. And was it just that weekend?
Just that weekend, 2 days, yeah. Wow. 2 days, like, 4 performances. Wow. And one of them was on Nico Nico Live, and that's why there's, like, a production, like a professionally cut version of this out there. Yeah. I saw it on YouTube the next day. I'm sure it's gone by now, but, like, if you look around, it's out there, so.
Very cool. Let's see. Otherwise, you've been playing Twilight Princess, the Forgotten Zelda.
My one Zelda John. Shame.
Yes.
It's the only mainline Zelda that I haven't finished.
You're playing through it. Did you pick up your old game? You got to, like, the infamous Skulltula. Or are they even Skulltulas where you're, like, hunting those like, spiders at the start?
I passed all that stuff. Like, the first time I played it, I think I'm finally past where I was on the GameCube.
Oh, but you got further in it on the OG time when you were playing it the first time?
On the GameCube, I got to
I thought you quit around there. Because that's kind of a part where people quit.
It was, I mean, that goes on, like, 3 times early in the game. So, like, in the first 15 hours or so, that happens a bunch. But, like, I got to the seabed, like, whatever shrine, I don't know what it's called, the one with the Zoras, like, originally. And I stopped before I went in, because I was just tired of it.
But you started over?
This time, yeah, I started over on the HD version on Wii U. And I'm, you know, my girlfriend has finished the game already, so she's, like, kind of, like, we're kind of playing it together. I'm playing it, but she sort of, it makes it easier, because she, like, can help me if I get super frustrated or stuck or whatever, or vice versa. And, like,
it's not that hard of a
game. It's not a hard game, but the controls fucking suck, man. Like, the controls did not age well.
You don't like the waggle? You don't like that waggle?
There's no waggle. I'm playing the Wii U version, man. The real version.
Dude, if you had the waggle, that'd be no problem.
You don't even know what I'm talking about. Designed for waggle. Dude, like doing, like, designed five different waggle things while you're fighting a boss underwater, like, switching boots and throwing bombs and shit. That's nothing to do with waggle. It's just junk.
You can aim your arrows anywhere you want. Exactly where you want, just intuitively.
If only that were the problem. Like, that game is just so disrespectful to the player's time. Like, that dungeon in particular, which I just finished recently, I'm, like, 15 hours in now, just, like, makes you backtrack, like, 15 times, and it doesn't speed up anything for you, and you gotta sit there and wait and wait and wait for so many things, and it's just, like, wow, this game would get crushed if it came out today, like, because people are no longer patient for that sort of thing.
Too long, but, yeah. But I remember liking the dungeons in that game.
To be fair, I'm digging on the parts that I hate, but, I mean, overall, it's... I am still feeling like the next day, like, oh, I want to go back and play Zelda. Like, it's got the dungeons for the most part are well designed.
You haven't done the dungeon with the, like, I don't want to ruin any item. I don't care. Spinning like top.
No, but I heard. I think that's coming soon. Okay. From what I've heard. Yeah.
I remember. I
love the second dungeon with the boots, the magnets, and everything.
Yeah, I thought they were great.
Yeah, just this one dungeon. Just
that was one
me
that
off.
You could fuck up if you had the GameCube version for some reason. There was something with the magnetic boots.
Wasn't it you, Graham, or something? Like if you could save somewhere.
Oh, you
like,
know, I hit the cannon glitch on the Wii version where like there's that. Where it was like a carriage scene where like there's bombs being thrown at you and shit.
Oh,
if you save somewhere
that
in the
fucking
wrong
scene
spot,
sucked too.
Yeah,
by
if you,
the way,
if you save,
where you had to escort the
yes. Yeah, yeah.
Carriage.
If you save, I don't remember if it was right before
that
or right
time?
After.
The first time? Yeah. No, you did.
Yeah,
come on, dude.
Yeah, the problem I hit was that I had the version like the early version on Wii before they. I don't know if they patched it, but I had the save thing. So
there were
just,
no patches back then.
It just fucking my save data was ruined, so I just quit because I was like,
oh no,
not doing this again.
Yeah, that happened to a lot of people actually. Yeah, you know, everybody has said that it just gets better and better as the game goes on, and I think I'm for the most part over the bullshit now. Like I finally got to the first like major cutscene, mm-hmm. and some big things have happened, and I mm-hmm. think like moving on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you get to the adult stage of Ocarina of Time. I think I'm there, so maybe it'll get better.
I just remember once you got past that early thing with this fucking like yeah. invisible spiders or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I mean, the last one, I just had to do the last one not that long ago. Okay. So yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see. I'm gonna finish it this time. It's the only Zelda I haven't finished, and you know, I was in a Zelda mood for some reason. So
I think after you finish it, you should go back and read some reviews of the game. Some like. Because I'm sure it got
where
nines
says, like, the
and
greatest
tens.
Game of all time.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun
exercise. I stopped playing the first reviews. Time because I didn't like it that much then either. Like, you know, the other problem with that game is the art direction. Like, the NPCs are ugly as shit. Like, I don't care about these kids because they look like idiots. Like,
oh,
I don't
come
say
on.
Them.
They don't look that bad.
Yes, they do.
They don't.
To be fair, though, on the
Zelda
other hand,
characters.
On the other, no, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
The Colin Twerp and his, like, friends, they all look like idiots. But then again, the lady in the bar is amazing. Like, that character design, she looks like Queen Latifah or something. Like, the big kind of heavyset bar owner is amazing.
Okay.
And the girl you're trying to save early on, Ilya or whatever, she's pretty cool. So it's up and down. It's what do they call it back in the magazine days? It's a mixed bag. Yeah.
Fans of the series.
Watch out. It's a mixed
otherwise
bag.
You might want to be more careful. Just like not say anything with your review. So what we're not talking about, which is sad, speaking of Nintendo, is Nintendo Labo, which is launching here in Japan actually the day that this podcast goes out, but not as we're recording, which is too bad.
Sadly.
We have it on the way. Of course, there will be a full report. You can follow people on Twitter, I guess, for more or whatever. But also, you have a special Yakuza 6 coming?
Oh, well, I just ordered the what is it called? The After Hours Edition, because it comes with, like, two whiskey glasses with, like, dragon, like, you know, whatever.
They do good special editions.
Their last one was amazing. The last Yakuza.
Are you going to actually use those glasses?
Oh, that's why. It's literally why I ordered. I already have the game. Like, I just bought the set because, like, I want those glasses. Yeah,
nice.
So I'm a whiskey fan, and, like, they're cool-looking glasses. So
next podcast, you'll have them.
How much? It's like $78 or something like that.
Oh, that's too cheap, though, to be. That's, like, makes me be like,
no, it's pretty
are they
nice.
Going to be okay?
They look nice.
We'll see. $78 with the game. The game itself probably costs that much.
The game is like, well, not this American game. It's not the Japanese version.
Oh, this is the American edition.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it all makes sense. Yeah. The Japanese version $300 for sure.
Yeah. I got all the Labo stuff coming though, so we'll see. I got both sets. I got all the extra tape.
Do me a favor.
You can buy.
Put a stopwatch whenever you. I say take it out of the box, but it is the box, so I don't even do you and take it out of the box, but whatever. When you start playing with it, put your timer on, hit start, and I just want to know. And, like, make your own, like, you won't have a game clock, but I want to keep track of how long. Because the test of it is it going to stay a test of time, or is it going to be something just a one-time thing or whatever? And then it's like, if you had kids, maybe it would be something more exciting. But I'm really curious, so, like, I want to keep track
of that.
Well,
let's be clear, too. Like, I'm not going into this thinking this is going to be, like, some amazing game or whatever. This is, to me, is, like, it's so different and interesting and unique. And, like Yamauchi, it feels like the old Nintendo to me, you know, like, toy-era Nintendo. So I'm just really curious to see what it is. Like, I'm not expecting. I mean,
it's almost more like a WADA to me, where it's like a weird out of left field, like DS, like, wait, what are you doing? Two screens? What?
Maybe, but yeah, that was Yamauchi's idea, though. So, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm really just curious to see what it is and if it's going to be anything more than a gimmick.
Yep. And anybody been playing anything else they really want to talk about? Roy, Monster Hunter? We should also talk about, we're remiss with that, with not mentioning the
bad timing.
Yeah, I know. Also in bad timing, just today as we're recording, the new some new Monster Hunter DLC dropped,
right?
And we are unable to play it as of recording time. Do you want to talk a little bit about it, what it is for people? Like, they can download it now as we, so as they're hearing this.
In short, while Mark finds the actual article, because I forget the thing's name, it's a big golden dragon.
Okay.
That you can.
It's probably better than his real name, so maybe we should just call him that.
Actually, I don't know. I kind of think the real name's not bad.
Oh really?
Like I think they workshopped it a little bit more than some of the.
Let's see what this
like
is.
Vulva something or other. What's
it's
it
at least. I mean, it's at least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Monster Hunter World's newest creature requires up to 16 players to defeat.
That part is cool.
That's him. So let's see the name.
It's a Culv Togath or something, or
here we go.
Elder Dragon.
Culv Taroth. Two words.
Mm.
So it's kind of like, I think, the first Monster Hunter attempt at like a raid monster, where it's like you have to approach it with groups of four.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not seeing all the people at the same time, right?
I don't think so. No, it's like everybody is attacking like a different part of its body, and then it's either kind of, it's like a pass fail thing where either you succeed in repelling it and then you get some rewards or not.
Mm.
I believe. And
so 16 players at once, but each it's four teams of four that are not
four instances, kind of
talking to each other.
No, I mean, I think it's just, you know, your team of four is...
I think
it's like you have, like, I don't know, a thigh or something that you're just wailing on.
Huh.
This is going to be one of those shitty talks, because by the time you hear this, you'll probably already know. But meanwhile, for us, it's not out yet. But.
Well, but they did a video last night. Did anybody see?
I didn't watch it, no.
Okay, well, then, yeah.
But, I mean, the main takeaway for, like, if you're, like, Graham, for instance, and you're like, well, why is this going to tempt me to get back into the game... Is that
convince
like,
him. Convince Graham. Graham, go.
I'm waiting. Why should I get back into this goddamn game? I'm done.
Okay, well, first of all, it's a new monster, and I know
that's cool.
That's all that you want, really, to get into the game. Mm-hmm. But for the people that are more obsessed with gear and stuff, it's a whole new armor set. Okay, well, so I've already lost Graham. But yeah, so there's new gear.
It's almost like, why were you playing Monster Hunter in the first place? Where you're
it's
like,
a fun
fuck
action
gear.
Game.
It's like, oh, all right.
It's a fun action game.
Well, there's also an Elder Dragon with, if you're wailing on a thigh or like a crystal or whatever.
That
probably not the most
fun so far.
Scintillating.
But for people who really like to grind out and like looking for a reason to just stick in the game, there's this kind of randomized weapon system, which they've had
this
in previous games. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like when you're wailing on that thigh, there's a chance that weapons will fall off of it. I don't totally know
gold
how
weapons,
you get
right?
them.
I think so.
I think some of them are also actual weapons that you can craft normally. Like I think some people were saying you could get like the gold Wraithian weapons or like Rathalos weapons or something. But the stats are kind of randomized, so the damage, the critical modifier, the defense. I think maybe even the element and stuff.
This is where it gets dangerous, because like there's no reason to not keep going forever to get that god roll.
Yeah, so I mean that to me is interesting.
Is dangerous. So you're going to be doing this tonight? You're going to start?
Probably not tonight, but this weekend, definitely.
Yeah. Also, I know Roy is very anti-gimmicky DLC, but I, for one, want to get the Mega Man DLC that's out now. As well as, I got to get all that shit,
Masa got it.
I'm a collector of, like, stupid parts.
You just
Monster
wanted to check the box.
Like,
you don't want to have your
Palico
set to that. Or do you?
That one I almost might, because it's kind of my aesthetic. It's a pixel. It's voxels, I guess. But, you know, but generally, I just want to check the box. I want to get all the different DLCs.
Somebody,
basically.
I don't know if you guys remember.
I already got the Ryu one, which was garbage. That fight was stupid and horrible, and, like, whoever designed it should be fired. But but I got that, too, so.
I don't know if you guys remember when you first start World, there's a scene where you like, go up some stairs, and your cat is at the canteen, and the handler's with you, and she's like, oh, there's your cat, and she runs up and embraces it. And, like, you can rewatch cutscenes, and so if you put that armor set on, then she will literally like, pick up a little Mega Man and, like, hug it and, like, look it in the face.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's worth it for that alone.
Well, to some of us, yes, I suppose.
All right, well, that is exciting. I guess, people will have to tune in 2 weeks from now. Just go on a blackout. Don't look at YouTube at all or Twitter or anywhere else where people will be talking about this ad nauseum for the next 2 weeks. And, if it's new, it's new for you.
That's
right. The old must-see TV slogan. Also new for you is a lot of news you might have heard of already, but stick around and hear us talk about it. We'll be right back with that. We'll be right back. All right, and we are back with not the news just yet. We have a couple of quick user questions before that.
Users, because they're using us?
Users, they're using us losers, for their entertainment. Losers are users, so don't use drugs.
Don't use drugs.
Yeah.
So like 5 seconds ago,
he gets it.
Everyone was like, what are you talking about? Kevin doesn't sing. That was beautiful.
Well, thank you.
When no one said Kevin does not have a beautiful singing voice, but you're like, oh, well, Kevin, you will favor us with your operatic song. And Kevin's just like, what are you talking about?
He's got a live performance tomorrow night in Shinjuku.
And, yeah, he's been confused somehow with someone who sings, but he's absolutely somebody who can answer questions, especially retro-style questions, which we put out the call for on our Twitter account and got some pretty decent questions.
Yeah.
Starting with Sam, that's a smug porky, on Twitter. Since it seems like the Switch,
I like it.
There you go. Is making up for lack of virtual console by having a bunch of retro game collections.
Yeah.
Like Secret of Mana, Mega Man, X, Sega Ages, SNK, etc. Is there a specific retro game collection you'd like to see get made? One I always thought that I would like. Do you guys remember there were? There were these arcade, I think there might have been an album or something, but it was by year in the arcades. It was like Arcade Sounds of 1982 or whatever. And it was just the ambient sounds that you'd hear from games that came out in that year. And it just like it's total nostalgia trip. It took me back. I think that would be cool way of, I mean, that would be a pain in the ass and probably impossible because you'd have to go across companies. But it would be cool to put out a collection of 1981, 1982, 1983, or whatever, for those of us that are old enough to have been in arcades at that time and stuff like that. Even into like, you know, some of the mid 90s, I think that would stay a pretty interesting kind of concept. What else? Who else?
Oh, God. Well, I love retro games, so I could think of a million different things, but I would love to see like an MSX collection. Like, I basically, but one of my weak points in retro games is like I didn't play a lot of old Japanese PC games because there was just no way to back in the day, no easy way to. Something like that would be pretty cool.
I don't know if I'd call that your weak point exactly.
My blind spot is what I was going for, actually.
It's kind of like you're okay, but even that is like it's such a pretty obscure era, but it's super interesting.
Yeah, a lot of amazing stuff. I mean, kind of Falcom got their start back then too, right? I mean, like those kind of, maybe, you know, whether it be MSX or like, what was it, PC-88 or like, you know, the there was a bunch of machines that are probably equivalent to like the Westerners like Amiga or whatever, you know, that only Japan got, or only got big in Japan.
Right.
I would love to see more of that stuff just on a modern system to be able to play it.
Cool.
Yeah.
A lot of the, on the X68000 computer, for example, a lot of the shooters and so on that have come out for the system, a lot of the...
Genesis was based on that, right? The 68000, am I remembering correct?
It was the chip that was in the Genesis.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's the CPU.
That's what I mean.
Of the Genesis was that. And that would actually be there would be a lot of good fodder for that because, you know, same with the MSX, you know, Konami was a very big contributor to the SCCSK, putting out a lot of arcade perfect stuff on there, ports.
Gradius and Gradius 2 and those kind of things.
Putting out that one Castlevania game that finally got remade.
The game was terrible too, but
yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Wait, were you not talking about the
Haunted Castle, right? Is that the one?
Arcade one?
Not the Haunted Castle. The
Castlevania Chronicles, right? The one. Yes, that's the one.
Oh, Haunted Castle was really good. It was just very hard.
It's too hard. The game is impossible.
For a hot minute, yeah. I think I owned it maybe until the incident.
Mm-hmm.
We never really talk about arcade like boards. That should be. We got to get Lee Saito on here one day. Like,
yes,
we get
that
talk
would be
about
its
arcade.
Own
I owned an arcade game once. I owned R-Type Leo, but yeah. Anyway.
And, you know, Konami put out the best MSX collection I can think of is actually came out on the Saturn, I want to say. Konami put out a collection of a good, like, 30 or so of their games for the Saturn. They put out a couple of different volumes on the PSX, but, you know, they just put out a whole damn thing on the Saturn. And that's how I played a lot of them back in the day.
There was a little retro movement. I think that's when it first started, like, around that time. So the Namco collections.
Namco Museum
on PS1. Mm-hmm. Some stuff on Saturn. I remember Nintendo
Capcom
did.
Capcom Generations was on
Capcom
PS1
Generations
Saturn.
Was another one. And
Sega Ages.
Nintendo had the, what were they called? The Bit something series. They were not actually old games, but they were kind of inspired by them. They were super simple, cheap,
GBA games you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. I forgot what they're called.
The name of that series? They were pretty interesting, though.
Dot something.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, Q Games made one of them, and like there was like a bunch of old school.
But that was the first thing where I was like, oh yeah, okay, you could actually just not make fancy visuals and whatever. These things are still worth playing. But
I still prefer old games.
Well, that's the thing too, is that there's always that. For example, we have a lot of indie games these days that have an extremely retro game feel to them in terms of pixelated graphics and so forth.
Sure.
And in the mid to late 90s, we now have this gap where we had shitty 3D graphics be the center point of video games for a number of years.
I want that to come back, man.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That to come around. I want like a high-def, low-poly.
People have tried. There was that, was called 1996 or something like that, right? That horror game that was supposed to be.
Oh, back in 1996, something like that.
Yeah, I like that aesthetic.
Look at Silent Hill, yeah.
Graham should pointed out the, PS1 era like polygon like scene in the Golgo 13 movie yesterday, like there's like a scene at the end of the movie, like the big climax of that movie is just like shitty like flat shaded polygon like sort of thing that's going on.
It's 1983 though,
that's pretty true. That was the 80s. That was pretty amazing for the 80s.
To me, the more interesting aesthetic around that though is like N64 or like the Saturn, like not like clean flat shaded, not like Virtua Fighter,
sure,
or even Resident Evil. It's like
chunky.
Some of the shittier N64 games and stuff, where it's like they mix 2D art and like that effect that they thought was blurred shit that they thought was making it look better, but it actually just looks like garbage.
But it was unique, at least. If nothing,
no, that's
else.
What I mean. N64, so like using that aesthetic, I think. It could be done in
bilinear filtering or whatever. I just remember like the Castlevania game on NC4 looked just like somebody like threw up on the character models or something.
You know, that game is actually really popular for speedrunners.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Actually, those games, I should say.
The second one, especially, I don't remember what it's called, but the one where you had the werewolf dude, that one is a huge speedrunning. Yeah, that's a huge speedrunning one.
Let's move on, though. Anyway. We have a couple other questions that we need to get through this stuff. Actually, here's one from my nephew, which I'm very afraid to say. Actually, it's found the show and is listening to the show.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is that what you've cleaned up your mouth?
Did I? I don't know if I have or not. I would if I should if I haven't already.
You've got to get used to that. Your kid's going to be like old enough to understand you momentarily. Last time I saw Mark with his daughter, I was like, yeah, the fucking this, fucking that. It's like, Mark, you're going to have to stop that soon.
I don't. What are you talking about?
For her first words, kind of
language.
Like...
That's a character I play on the podcast, Jack. That's not me. So, yes, Jack asks, I've been grinding through Bloodborne since I heard about its free release on our show here.
On a very special episode.
Yeah, as a PlayStation Plus, and made it to Gurman, who I don't think I made it to.
Gurman is definitely the end.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Are there any bosses you or the 8-4 crew think I need to hunt before going to New Game Plus?
I just realized this question is a fantastic spoiler.
That's fine, but let's mark it spoiler time.
Now that I think it's
okay.
Is it a spoiler for my nephew?
It's
who
not.
Has gotten to the final boss.
No,
okay,
no.
So just for other people.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you need to, spoiler warning, skip ahead for the rest of us.
Well, it's already happened, but anyway. So for me, I mean, if you've already gotten that far in the game.
That we said he's the final boss.
Yeah, he's an NPC you meet, like, literally in the first hour of the game.
Okay.
But anyway, if you've gotten that far, your level must be pretty high that you'd have no problem with the DLC. And the DLC has some fantastic bosses in it that are, like, not only very memorable, but some of them even give you, like, unique weapons and bits of lore that you would probably... You know, disconnected strings of lore that if you're into that stuff, there's plenty of YouTube videos that will explain it all.
I don't know if I imagined him being into that. So he could be.
Even if you don't do that, like the final boss of the DLC is still like one of the just highlights of bosses in
absolutely,
games.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah, the final boss of the DLC is amazing.
Very frightening, like very aggressive and bizarre looking and
very cool. Okay.
Cool.
So not just a kind of like standard boilerplate like Bloodborne, like it's kind of a big animal.
No,
a
grotesque thing. It's kind of the opposite. It kind of highlights what's good about Bloodborne is that it can have bosses almost unlike Dark Souls that are kind of human sized and fast and aggressive because it works with the game system.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, the straight up answer is that Bloodborne, there isn't really any boss that you can only really tackle on your second playthrough. Like if you're that far in the game, just do all of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
like there's no reason not to just go back, and there aren't too many optional ones. Like Apparel is optional, I think.
But you're saying that they are worth it rather than going in a New Game Plus.
Oh, they're all worth it.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Like, there are no bad boss fights.
So, and,
like,
seek them out.
But definitely Roy's right on the DLC, because I think you have to get to a certain point in the game to be able to access it.
Yeah.
And you never know, like, when you're just going to, like, not have time to play a game anymore. Mm-hmm. So you want to do that, get it out of the way now, so that if you do
a new game plus,
and if you're, like,
oh, time.
If your nephew has the money for PlayStation Plus, then he's got the money for that DLC.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of that. I forgot that there was DLC for that, which is probably a big part of the reason why, a big bonus for them going PS Plus, yeah, right, is that now...
I don't know if it still is.
DLC sales went through the roof.
It was discounted as well. It was, like, knocked down to under $10, I think.
Yes, as long as you don't miss the optional areas, like the cosmic whatever, the dream thing with amygdala.
Right.
Like, as long as you don't miss those areas, I think you're cool.
Okay. What about weren't there bosses in the what were the like sections of the game that are
the
like
the chalice dungeons?
Yeah,
those are cool too.
So the very last level has a unique boss.
There are a few unique bosses in there. Yeah, okay. I think so.
So basically, but also, your answer is just kill everything.
Yeah, but also you have to slog through the chalices, and that can be kind of rough. Yeah. So if you just want to see the bosses, I don't know, just run through the chalices. Yeah. But.
All right. Let's continue with now. Finally, the news. Please send more questions, but now for now, the news.
Hey dude, here's some hot news. Guys, I was a hot video game star, but I did not know what was going on, so I asked my good friend Mark about what the hell is up with the game business these days. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, you dun, can probably tell dun, that Kevin dun, ran dun, a podcast. Yes, dun, dun, the applause dun, dun, is absolutely.
That's great.
Kevin
that's
ran great. A podcast about video game music.
It was a... limited engagement back in 2013. If
By
I
design.
Correctly.
Yeah. Not one of these podcasts just petered out. You knew from the start it was going to be a set time that you did it.
One of
it
the greatest of legends. All time.
Yes.
Oh, you're far too kind of me.
Possibly my favorite podcast
The name of,
all time.
Of the podcast is...
Fun.
What do you do?
No, you
got to
say
it,
right.
Kevin.
Oh, man. What am I? Just use the recording from the last time I said it here.
Well, if you listen to the podcast,
Kevin
you'll understand.
For 10 pals.
Yeah, there you go. For 10 pals. You'll understand better if you listen to it. And you really should. It's still on iTunes.
Oh, it certainly is. I haven't taken off or anything like that.
Nice.
And
we're still waiting for season two.
Yeah, I know.
We say this every 2 years.
Yeah, wait.
I think you might have even promised or signed a contract, possibly.
I think I might have signed, I might have signed a verbal contract, but then I fled the country.
That's right.
As you see, so... But now I'm back. You should have called the Tokyo. Was it the Tokyo Chicken Tokusobu?
Yeah.
call the Tokyo Special Investigatory Forces to arrest me if you wanted to make me do a second season of Fun.
Is it ever coming back?
Oh, it may.
Come on, you got to bring it back someday.
You have forsaken video games in general, though, Kevin.
I had the free time during that time to do a podcast, but now I'm working a lot, and I travel a lot, too. I'm not working.
Yeah.
So I apologize to all my many fans. I've been disappointing you for all these many years.
That's right. Well, but, you're giving them something with this podcast.
Oh,
so
yes, yes.
You got to retire someday, too.
I'm waiting for the light novel music podcast.
Oh, man. That
could happen.
That means I'll have to start playing, adventure... video games as it exists in Japan.
You could basically just like read. You could do audiobooks of all the light novels you've written, and then just like play the piano alongside of it.
Tell your publisher or whatever. I would buy every audiobook that you did the audio for.
That actually reminds me of a regular segment I think we are going to introduce soon.
Oh yeah,
that we haven't talked about anything more about. Yeah, we actually have it recorded.
What?
No, we have it recorded. I'll tell you guys what it is. Roy will at least know what it is. This is before your time, Graham.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a wonderful time capsule that we made a few years ago and is just waiting to be
I want nothing to do with it.
Look forward to that. Please look forward to it. Final Fantasy 15 has four more episodes coming in 2019. Wow. Episodic comments. Episode 1, I'm not going to read all these, but yeah, four episodes of things.
They sound interesting. Like, one of them focuses on like the bad guy. One of them focuses on like a player favorite. And then one focuses on the extremely underdeveloped heroine of the game. So
these must be selling or something, because I don't hear anybody begging for them.
Final Fantasy 15 sold like crazy.
Yeah. No, but I mean the DLC stuff that they've been doing must be doing well enough that they're like, let's keep doing it.
This is why I'm interested by
it's almost overstaying its welcome at this point.
The spin-off Square company, what's it called, Graham?
Oh, Luminous? Luminous
Productions? Yeah, I'm hoping that they're going to come and do something.
The Final Fantasy 15
this.
Team, they're doing their own thing now. So
speaking of Chrono Trigger from earlier in the podcast... What am I looking at here? Because we have a few. It's been patched, and it's supposedly already looking better.
Why are we printing color photos for podcast news? Because
Dermot,
guys.
Dermot put them in there.
Important business. Am I not seeing any difference between the two of
these
pictures?
This man's drinking and this one's not.
Okay, but that's just like when they took the picture. I literally cannot tell a difference at all between these two pictures. Maybe it's just a fault of what got printed out.
One of the things is the text has supposedly been improved here. But all right,
but there's no text to compare it to, so... Well, okay.
Dermot's a busy boy.
That's our weekly check-in. Thank you, Dermot, as always, for that.
The text does look much better.
Is there one to compare it to?
There is.
Well, no, but just think garbage mobile font. Well, that looks generic.
It does look bad there.
Yeah, but it's an improvement for sure.
Pokemon news. Every 2 weeks, Kevin, we gotta have fucking Pokemon news.
I got Mew.
Newest Pokemon is Zeraora, an electric type mythical monster. Why is this in the news?
they're okay.
First trailer for the thing. Is this Pokemon Go game?
What is that? No, it's not. It's not Go.
So this is from the next game.
It's going to be in the next movie.
Oh, but so it
must
possibly
be
like
next game too, right?
Well, it looks like they kind of made it look like it will actually be in the last two games, okay. Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Yeah, that's what it's saying. It's unclear if it will be. You'll be able to get it. There's no Western release date for the movie. Blah blah blah. Not maybe part of the Switch game. I guess not. Blah blah blah.
I like Lucario.
Kevin Gifford, what do you think about this? This is right in your wheelhouse, Billy Mitchell.
Oh,
close personal friend of yours.
fellow ex-Texan.
Some would say doppelganger.
Scandal has struck.
That's quite true.
Mr. Billy Mitchell. He has been stripped of his scores by Twin Galaxies, which is apparently no longer run by Walter Day, by the way.
Really?
Oh,
yes,
no.
Which I think is part of the reason why they actually like came to their senses and looked into this
impartially. Ah, interesting.
Stripped him of it.
Who's going to tell me what a kill screen is coming up then?
I don't know.
His stolen Foot Locker outfit no longer fits.
Nice. Oh, getting our Walter Day licks in here.
He was like, in King of Kong, he was already a million years old. Just like, let him retire, guys.
Sure.
I'm sure.
So, let's see. What...
Billy Mitchell cheated, right? Or something.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, they basically proved that he used an emulator. And it was always weird. Even if you go back and watch King of Kong, he always like sent a tape and refused to do stuff live.
It was was always weird to me that they even accepted that to begin with. Like, that's
and even the tape did a little like blurry thing when his score... made the leap,
oh, really?
Which was like, that was even a little...
So are you saying that Billy Mitchell is the equivalent of one of those dudes who sent high scores to Nintendo Power and so on, and then just kind of like used like,
X-Acto knife. And
yeah, X-Acto knife to redo the scores.
Chalk and a pencil.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything, Kevin Gifford, because I am very,
unbiased.
Adverse to court proceedings and the like, but I would never... deem that worthy. I do think it's really funny and interesting if you really dig into this, how seriously, I mean, good for them for doing it, but like how, I mean, they were very fastidious. They were very, they took this very seriously and pretty much unequivocally are like, this is complete cheating bullshit. Mm-hmm. He's like, like banned. And he has promised, I don't think this is in the story, but he has promised a rebuttal or whatever at some later time for like
whatever
funny reasons and stuff like that. I just think it's hilarious.
Whatever. He's got his hot sauce company or something like that. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Well, the movie kind of made him look like a villain, and now it's kind of suitable, right?
I suppose.
Well, it was, even at the time, it was pretty suitable, but now it's like even more so. And I think he has... I played that up a bit, but that's pretty just a shitty thing you can do a like, one of those like old record holder.
So now what's his name? Steve Weeby? Yeah, is like the first ever 1 million
to have gotten to 1 million, right? Yeah,
good for him.
Which is no longer. Yeah.
He was such a likable little guy.
Little guy.
I don't know. I was a soft little. He just like, seemed so lovable.
Damned with faint praise.
No, I'm happy for him.
He was a cute little,
he's a cutie.
Adorable little pudge ball. So Sega Genesis is back. Master System games too. But there have been a million of these already.
Well,
what are we talking about exactly?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about, I don't even know if this is the story. I was talking about the
Mega Drive Mini, you mean?
Yes. The Mega Drive Mini re-release, which they've done like a billion times already.
No. Well,
this is
the real one.
Yeah, this is the real one. The most recent one was a rather shitty one.
A rather shitty one with like homegrown like games and garbage on it. This is like Sega Japan saying, we're going to do what Nintendo did with the Super Famicom and make a Mega Drive Mini, which is awesome.
Which we should have done in the first place.
Absolutely.
Instead of all the shitty...
Yeah, all the garbage that Sega of
that
America
did up
wherever
until
let
now
them
that
do.
Made them
yeah.
a lot of money, I'm sure, sure. because there were, that's why there were 30 of them. But like, oh yeah, we can get in on that too. Let's do it right this time now. Finally,
cannot wait. Guys, what needs to be on it?
I feel. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
If you could have one game on it.
One game.
Wait, games. I mean, the list is forthcoming. Then I suppose
we only have 3 games. Oh. That's all they announced.
Mm. Wait, they didn't announce any for the mini. The 3 games they announced are like Switch games.
I'm, the Wolf Team
right.
games.
And those Switch games, just real quick, Sonic the Hedgehog, Phantasy Star, and Thunder Force 4. Are
so they also announced Switch. Game Ground, I believe.
Sega Ages.
Yeah, I've seen screenshots of Game Ground.
Game Ground as well,
okay.
yeah.
They announced Alvia Studio M2, which are good at this
They're
going to
be amazing, yeah. yes.
So there's nothing announced for the mini so far?
I don't believe
it's
so.
It's smart.
Eek
it out. Like, yeah. Like, milk
like,
the hype. Milk that.
What's build up, build the hype, yeah.
Shit.
Come on, give me your one. If you
I
could only have
one.
If you had only one, you could only have one Genesis game on there.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Really? Or you
I don't know.
You know.
I never had
that's
a
That's the
never
one
had.
That you would do if you were making this thing, and not what you want personally on it. So many different criteria, though. It's like, well, if it's only going to be one game, you want it to be the like, game you can
hard.
Play the most,
one
or do you want it to be just what you liked the best at the time, or the one that stands up the best now?
I'm going to say, Dashing for me personally, I want it to be a game that I always meant to play and didn't, so oh. I would go with, or didn't finish, actually, I
totally
played them all,
way.
But I would say maybe Beyond Oasis, I would like to finish someday.
Interesting.
Pulse Man never came out officially in English,
Pulse
I think.
Man, yeah.
So now we can
game
start
Freak.
Naming multiple ones. Yeah, Gunstar Heroes, Fantasy
Gunstar
Star
Heroes
2.
Will be
I would say Fantasy Star 2, 3, 4, all of them.
Revenge of Shinobi, for sure.
Oh, man, I can't, you can't go back to Fantasy Star 2. Talk about
exactly. We talked about
we
this the other day.
About
this
like days
about
ago,
this.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's got to come with
back.
It's got to come with
no, not
the
not
hint
the podcast.
Book.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It's
got
to come with the hint book.
I still have my hint book that came
it.
With the original version.
I didn't open it. I was pure. I kept myself pure.
There's a lot of really good Konami stuff that they could do with that.
Castlevania,
Hardcore,
Contra, Rocket Knight Adventures.
Rocket Knight Adventures. Yeah, there is stuff they can do on that.
Rocket Knight Adventures.
It's good.
It doesn't need to be on there.
It was very good. Sparkster is very good.
Top
3 Nintendo version. Right?
Well,
is that Sparks?
It came out on Genesis too,
oh, did it?
And was
they were very different,
nominally
games.
Very, yeah. very different games too.
It's so weird that they did that. I wonder if that was to get around.
I think it was because
not
Sparks or Genesis was U.S. only.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Castlevania and Contra on Genesis are fantastic. They're like
yep.
lost entries. You know,
Castlevania
my
is yeah. Good. I wouldn't say. I don't know if I'd say fantastic. It's one of the weaker. It's one of the weaker.
Oh, I don't know. It's up there.
Games.
It's like a lost NES one. Castlevania that looks better than.
I mean,
NES
I think it's. I think it's interesting because most people probably haven't played it.
Sure.
And I do think it's interesting on that level, but I think
Michita
relative
Yamane music.
To.
If I could pick two that I think probably won't be on there, I'd like to see Arcus Odyssey.
Oh wow! Did that ever come out in English?
Yeah.
Oh okay.
Yeah, I had a card of it. What? Arcus Odyssey is like it's a cool multiplayer game where it's like it's basically kind of like Gauntlet where you like you or like Commander you're like running up a screen and you can navigate these top down mazes and you can.
I remember that, but I never.
Yeah, wait.
It.
Did Renovation put that out?
I don't remember
Sounds
who put it out.
Familiar.
Okay.
The other one is
you remind
Warsong.
Me of Herzog's Way, which should be on there. But go.
I'd also like to see Warsong on there because it's like the only Langrisser game that came out in English.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was like a fun game that I think probably a lot of people didn't get the chance to play. So that'd
and,
be.
And you know, as someone who grew up in the state of Pennsylvania, I would like to suggest that they put on NHL Hockey 94.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. That yeah.
And
yeah,
you can watch Swingers while you play.
One of those is going to be on there. Fantasy Star 4 should also be on there.
It was Renovation, yeah.
It was Renovation. Okay.
Yeah.
I do know I do
game.
That game you're talking
about. That was a good
about.
Game.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It was random.
And I mean
right?
it was
random
also
budgets?
It's also I don't remember if it was random, but it was also co-op and that's a fun part of it. I mean.
Yeah.
Now do they include Sega CD games? Probably not, I'm guessing.
No.
You could, but you know what? You probably wait because if it does really well, then
you
they want to
make
like,
a Sega CD.
Although
yeah,
there's probably
no.
not enough Sega CD games to
Sonic
fill.
CD
it'll be a little mini Sega CD.
It would be
you
hilarious.
Hook it up to a little mini
yeah.
32X that you
that would be hilarious.
Like a USB stick.
redo the Franken
yes.
Tower or whatever they called it. Franken Sega.
You put every fucking 32X game on there, too. Like,
yeah.
There you go.
I'm super happy. Day one. Can't wait. I'm super excited. I'm also happy Sega Ages is back and it's M2. I mean, that is like more than we could ask for. That's going to be perfect.
The best
like
part of that
games.
Conference was at the very end. They were saying we're also leaving Saturn and Dreamcast on the table.
Nice.
Like, right. So, like we're considering it, and that's
well,
finally
sometime.
Thank
yeah.
God.
So we should like, mention this was a conference they had like a
Sega Festival.
Fest.
Yeah, it was a
Sega
weekend
Festival,
like
yeah.
event. Yeah,
thing which was kind of not. Really publicized really well, I feel
I
like.
Don't, I
it was
agree.
Not a lot of.
Yeah.
Until like the morning of or the night before, yeah.
And it's also on a weekend where there's not a lot of news coming out of stuff, so.
But they announced a bunch of shit.
Yeah, they did. So they also announced Shenmue and Shenmue 2.
Yeah.
Coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC. That is.
I didn't know Shenmue 2 had English voice acting.
It did.
And it is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Wait, you didn't?
I didn't play Shenmue 2. I don't
I
like
actually
Shenmue.
Didn't know
oh,
either.
You know,
I thought
Shenmue
for some
what?
Reason
wow.
I thought Shenmue 2
no, see,
was
I didn't
Japanese
think Shenmue
2, only.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was English as well.
It was a it was a Euro UK. Release
and Xbox One
and Xbox.
You know what I mean?
Original Xbox. Yeah, I reviewed it, in fact, for the Xbox. Yeah. That's what I played it for.
I still have my copy.
Only in America, I think it came out,
or at least not in Japan anyway. But anyway.
Oh right, probably Europe as well, right? But just not Japan.
The VA is too much. Like if you think Shenmue 1 is bad. Shenmue 2 is a whole new level. It is amazing.
Is it really worth? I mean, they're both god awful.
Like
they're both horrible, and I feel like the same way.
Well, no, I mean, they weren't bad. They were just that's really how life was in Yokosuka back in 1986.
Exactly.
You would just walk down the street, and all these random weirdos would go up to you with their problems, and then
asking about sailors.
Hey, bro.
The incident. Yes. The incident. That used to be a hottest word in Yokosuka. Like, that just used to be
everyone knows about the incident in Yokosuka.
Lucky Hit was a big deal, man. It's easy to laugh about now, but it was a big deal.
They announced other stuff, too, though.
Valkyria Chronicles delay? That was fun.
What else?
For Switch.
They announced Sakura Taisen is coming
back. Yeah, they
did. Yeah, Sakura Wars.
Oh, shit.
We don't have that.
That series, which was massive in Japan.
Huge in Japan.
Never came out in America.
It was a system.
PS2 and Wii.
Wait, it came out in English?
A Sakura Wars game came out in, on...
What was it called?
Maybe Atlas or something? I think
Nippon Ichi might have.
Or maybe it was one of those.
I think it was called Sakura Wars.
It was PS2 and PS2 and Wii.
Or maybe it was just called Sakura Taisen. I don't know. Because I didn't play it. It's one of those things I like to talk about, but I don't actually
There was
really
like a redhead cowboy girl, I want to say.
Cowboy girl? Did you just say cowboy girl?
I've been a
cowboy girl.
Exactly. Not a cowgirl. Very different thing.
New Castlevania game is a multiplayer mobile game. Wow, I did not hear about this. Castlevania, Grimoire of Souls.
And they got Ayami Kojima to do the art, which is almost offensive. I mean, she's so talented. Like, why waste her on this? But
this, it was either this or a pachinko game. It was like a 50-50. They just have a coin that they flip at Konami. It's like,
I signed up for the beta.
You
hopefully,
did?
Yeah, hopefully they pick
So
me.
Does it look like old school? I didn't see this or hear
about
this.
Yeah, I don't know
how
it's supposed to work. It looks like a side-scrolling action game.
Does it look like Symphony of the Night? Era
or no? It's
era?
Polygonal.
It's what?
It's polygonal, so it's like it's.
Does it look like the PSP?
Yeah, sure. Like around there. Yeah, around Dracula's Chronicles. Sure,
that would make sense.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work on a phone, but we'll see.
That makes me worry more about the controls.
Yeah,
even more.
By the way, Sakura Taisen actually never came out in English.
What?
Aha! Reading about it now. Yeah.
No, hold on. I'm going to get my phone out too.
All right.
Something came out.
Maybe it was the spin-off game.
The anime has come out. The anime is
Star Gemini Sunrise. I believe the cowboy girl's name was Gemini Sunrise, if I recall correctly.
No one cares. I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't mean that in reference to you. I meant that in reference to...
It was Sakura Wars so long, my love.
Yeah.
What, a game?
Yeah.
For what?
For Wii and PS2.
From who?
From, hold on.
I think it was Nippon Ichi.
Maybe it's so bad that people just don't even acknowledge it.
Okay, well, while we Google stuff in real time, which does not make for scintillating...
Yeah, Nippon Ichi Software America.
Podcasting.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Well,
yep.
Good we settled that.
People I was right.
Not acknowledge that it exists.
Dark Souls Remastered.
Oh, this
for
hurts.
For Switch, delayed, which is kind of weird because it was announced first for that and kind of became associated with that. Roy, comment.
I mean, that's the wrong way to buy Dark Souls anyway, so...
Exactly.
It's fine. Just buy it on PS4 instead.
Also,
but if you're going to play it again at this point, you might as well have a portable version. Like, you're not going to be that different on PS4.
If I'm going to play it, I want it to look good.
It's going to look better than it looked the first time you played it.
You won't buy it twice, Roy? You're just going to buy it on PS4, not on Switch as well?
Oh, yeah, just PS4.
Yeah, just PS4.
Really?
Yeah.
So like
I'm not gonna like whip that out.
Flight? You don't wanna like.
I don't. I'm not a jet setter like you guys. I don't get to go to all these events and everything.
A little passive aggressive.
I like that Blighttown is getting one last punch in. Blighttown's not going down easy.
I mean,
one last.
I tweeted that, but then somebody told me that apparently at PAX you could play this version of it.
And Blighttown was fine.
And Blighttown was fine. So I guess that's not
going
to
come back. Yeah, because Blighttown.
Yeah. Yeah.
That had to hurt, though,
don't mess around.
Nintendo was all excited about having this port and everything, and like how many people who were going to buy it on Switch are now going to not be able to wait and just buy it on another platform. They're definitely going to lose sales over this. Plus, the Amiibo was like supposed to come. Actually, I got an email.
Lose sales
I guess
on
I pre-ordered the Amiibo because I got an email from Nintendo saying my Amiibo was delayed.
The cynical person in me says they're going to gain sales from this, and here's why.
Oh, why?
Because
it's gonna be old news
people today. Like maybe me and a lot of people are going to buy the game as fast as they can. When it comes out, and then they're going to buy it again to have the Switch version. Like, it's like all these indie games.
If there wasn't one before, but this is like the second time and the third time now.
But it's like, remastered, like, Roy!
Did you see the remastered? To be honest, like, I watched a video comparison on, like, Digital Foundry or something. It doesn't even look that different.
I'm just excited to play Dark Souls.
In fact, some parts of the old game looked better on the old game. Like,
lighting was a little weird.
I mean, there were some weird parts. Like, I mean, really, yeah. I mean, big picture, I'm sure it looks much better now, but there were some little bits that were like, actually, that part looked better before.
I will say the remasters, especially for a game like that, I'm not going to compare it. I mean, my small experience with it is with Rez and now with Lumines. It is a lot harder than people think, and not as easy as like, oh, just put it in the Switch or put it in the new thing and it's going to run fine. Like, weird shit comes out that you have no idea about. And I'm sure once the public gets its hands on it, they'll find a lot of other stuff.
Plus, the first Dark Souls was a PS3 game, so I'm sure that's a whole...
There's that whole mess.
Getting something off of that monstrosity.
So I will say that, but you know, that is kind of just what people expect these days, and so I do hope that they really come through. That will be definitely a Digital Foundry that I will watch. The Switch version, I hope to God, when they take the footage, it is in Blightdown, and it's like they just run from as much stuff as they can at the start, get to the bottom, and then just wait for it all to come on screen and see if it holds that silky 30 frames a second.
Looking forward to playing that on PS4 in mid-May. I'll let the podcast know all about it.
That's pretty much about it, I think. There's some other things, but nothing that can't wait.
I would like to pick up a string that we left off earlier on in the episode. There are three Blockbuster videos in Alaska.
Oh, thank God.
Phew. Owned by
everyone was just pins and needles.
Owned by the same franchisor. There used to be a number in Texas, and they all closed last year.
Not mom and pop? Are they just local franchises that refuse
The Alaskan Joint is a franchise of three stores. There used to be many more. And there used to be a large franchisor in the state of Oregon, which used to have around a couple dozen of them back in the day.
Which we can now reveal is where you live.
The next to last one in Oregon, in the town of Redmond, Oregon, closed in February, and now there's only the one left in Bend, Oregon. At which time, when I moved to Bend in 2012, there were actually two Blockbusters in Bend, a town of about 80,000 people. And so if you live in the lower 48 and you want to go to a Blockbuster and shoot your amazing, cool YouTube video, as many people have done, then you have
to go.
Then you have to go to Bend, Oregon. And, you know, the local TV station has done a whole feature about that. You know, the franchisee had to close the one in Redmond, a town of about 20,000 bit north. But she claims, well, there's just something very nice about having a video store where people who actually care about movies, which at this point, in the heyday of Blockbuster, I don't think most of the employees cared very much about
movies. Just to be devil's advocate, Blockbuster, I mean, has it become just like a local movie store where they like tap recommendations and whatever? Okay.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, because so it's just the kitsch value.
But, well, I mean, it's a great place
to rent video games.
Because it seems like the worst of both worlds. Otherwise, it's like, wait, why? It's still going to be this soulless, corporate, boring
That location has been a Blockbuster since about 1991.
Okay.
That is just stuck around.
Awesome. Yeah.
Hey, Japan, we still have tons of video stores. Just still at every station.
There are definitely
rent videos from Staya sometimes.
Can't rent games, though.
You never could, except for like that 1 year or whatever. Yeah,
no resale,
but you can rent audio CDs, which makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the resale is that is big business here.
That's another podcast.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of ties are closing, but it's in parts of Japan which most people would not be going to anyways. Sure. I suppose so.
It'll hang on for longer, but it will still. I mean, as Netflix catches on, slowly Japan moves into digital stuff.
Oh, hey, I've been watching a lot of Terrace House.
Oh, you have? Which one, pray?
Oh, look, we're out of time. It's time to wrap this up.
Which Terrace House would that be? Not the Aloha one? State.
No, I just recently began picking it up, so I'm starting at the beginning.
Quick, what's your hot take?
It's quite a show, isn't it?
It's quite a show.
Wait, did you say quite a show or a quiet show? Okay.
It's
a lot of people commenting on what's happening at the moment and not a whole lot.
What's your take on what's her name? Who's the girl that everybody tries to date immediately upon getting there? Who's like just like an evil, boring person?
I think. I'm sure it's just like Billy Mitchell. It's a lot of editing. But
Of course. Okay, of course. Well, what's not edited is this podcast every other week. So we left in all the sneezes and awkward pauses, and yep, you love them, ASMR folks. Rejoice for all of that. We'll be back with more of it in 2 weeks. Until then, who wants to tell people where they can find John?
Where they can find me? Who wants to tell people where they can find me? They can find us at 8-4.jp or on our second home, giantbomb.com, or on the Facebooks and the iTunes store and the Twitter, 84play. Look us up. We also have a Japanese Twitter at Hachi no Yon that nobody apparently knew about. Oh. That's been there for like 8 years. If you can read Japanese and you want to read our one tweet over and over again,
it's
Hachi no
Yon.
Finally
happening. Yes, go check it out because you have some news on there. Right?
Follow us just so it looks like we're popular at least. We do have some news. We're hiring.
People will. I'm sure people will follow
it. We're hiring for Ida J. We're hiring we're looking for a Japanese native position for a translator who can translate into Japanese. If you are Japanese and listen to this for some reason, first, we're sorry. Second, we are hiring. So
that's Hachi no Yon.
Hachi no Yon.
Spell that.
Which is how you say 8-4 in Japanese.
Right.
H-A-C-H-I-N-O-Y-O-N.
Yeah.
I think it's the first time I've ever done that.
So, yes.
Also, I am personally at John TV. Where can they find you, Mark?
I'm at Mark MacD.
How about you, Roy?
I'm at Kotawari.
Graham?
Timely Howard.
Say it slower.
At Timely Howard.
There you go. Kevin Gifford, where can the people find you on
the
internet?
That's right, for more Kevin Gifford.
Well, my Twitter is at Kevin Gifford, but if you want to find me, the best way would be to fly over to Bend, Oregon. And
go to Blockbuster Video.
Don't go to Blockbuster Video. Right next to Blockbuster Video is a Papa Murphy's, and so if I'm having like a party that weekend, I'll go there to pick up a couple of pizzas, and then after that, I'll go over to Boneyard Beer in order to pick up a bunch of crawlers, like the big cans that they produce.
Sure,
Then I'll be walking my dog Adam around downtown around 5 or 6 p.m. here in the summertime.
So stalkers, now you have all the information you need. He's also, as we mentioned, 8 foot tall.
Yes.
Wears a cowboy hat a lot of the time. Bearded currently. You can't miss him.
Literally.
Yes. But any other projects or things you want to plug or have your fans?
Well, stuff that's come out recently. Oh, buy the light novel. Not that I get a commission, but buy my light novels and buy my manga.
Tell them, comment that yes. You bought it because you heard Kevin Gifford worked on it.
Indeed. My translating acquaintance, Mr. Stephen Paul, worked on the manga version of something called That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, and that's gonna be
Dragon Quest Slime or.
Well, I mean,
Slime-esque,
yeah, and
just enough to skirt copyright.
It's like the McDonald's thing, you know.
Called Slime? Was it Slime in
Japanese? No, Tensei Slime datta ken という名前でした.
I think Slime is kind of hard to trademark.
I mean, Slime has existed since Wizardry and all that sort of thing. And it's,
right.
Like everything else, it was originally a D&D thing.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't look like a Hershey Kiss with a face on it.
But if somebody's litigious enough, you just stay away from it by default. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So,
it's not the Hershey Kiss design on it, but it is blue. But anyway, they're making an anime version of it in the fall. And I've been working on the original light novel version of it. It was originally a web novel, but they released it in paperback form, too.
Very cool.
And, there's that. Devil's Part-Timer is still coming out.
Cool.
I've been working in terms of manga that you might have heard of. I've worked on Bungo Stray Dogs, which is very much a manga featuring a bunch of pretty boys fighting each other.
Nice.
Nice. Real Account, Colosseum, a whole bunch of other manga and light novels. So,
all right.
Well, just look me up on Yen Press or Kodansha USA.
Can you get this stuff on like Amazon or whatever? Or do you have
to go through? It's all on Kindle and all that kind of thing too.
Nice.
So.
Right on. Well, that's it. I think, Kevin, thank you as always. Always a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Seriously, you're one of our favorite regulars. Thank you for making time.
I'm going to be here all month, but I will be back.
Are you chronicling your adventures through Japan on Twitter? Or is that just a Facebook thing?
Mostly on Facebook.
Okay, and you should share that on Twitter too.
Yeah,
Lots of our listeners would, I'm sure, appreciate it.
When in Hakodate, you gotta go to Lucky Pierre, though. It is the coolest.
Well, maybe not right now on the podcast. Yeah. On the Twitter feed, Kevin.
I just bring that up because I did change my Twitter icon to Lucky Pierre.
All right.
Which is the coolest thing in the universe. But anyway, I will definitely do that. I'll be back next year sometime, so I will invite myself over to your
absolutely,
office here.
Please do. And we'll set up maybe the next of our like more special podcasts with you for that. It actually takes like time and research to
It's been about long enough time now that we could probably look back on PS1 and it would actually be an old thing.
That would
thing,
be enormous so. Fun.
That's
yes,
right.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Until then, Kevin, why don't you take us out?
Take us out where?
So...
That was great. Let's go with that.
Let's just leave that. It has been a while since you've been on the podcast.
It would be awesome if it just ends right now.
I'm Doolin. Good to see you.
Hi, I'm Duel.
Let's get started, then. Move as I tell you to.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to carry it over there. It's heavy. Don't drop it. Here. Left. Left. Okay, unless I tell you otherwise, keep pushing forward.
Sure.
Yeah. 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 Right. Ooh. Yeah. Left. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Ooh. Right. Ooh. Ooh. Left. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Right. Right. We're putting it down. Ooh. Here. We make the perfect pair.